and we certainly have a, let me just call everybody's names, I'll just make sure I know everybody. Danny Popper?
Yeah.
Okay, okay, I got that. Yosef Rosen?
Yes.
Rabbi Flato? Okay, that's a, the rabbi's the first name, right? Okay. Daniel Friedman? Is it Friedman or Friedman you do?
Friedman.
Okay. Yoni Levin, that would be, okay. Daniel Tracer, we know. Daniel Tabak. Eitan...
Burstein.
Bad name, I'm sorry. Burstein?
Burstein.
Burstein. I thought it was. It's Eitan Burstein?
Yeah.
Okay. And Ari Gontovnik, who is not here at the moment, but I guess he will. Okay. And, of course, everybody else is here. As I say, we're coming towards the end. We're not going to be able to do everything because it is seven or eight dap in this parak, but we have hit, I think, the main issues of Yerusha's Bechor, and we've at least gone the basic, we will have gone through at least the basic overview of the topics of Pigeon Bechor. What I would recommend is, whatever we haven't finished, you know, obviously to go through carefully, but a good way to control it is, you know, just read through the whole Perek of the Rambam and Perek Aleph Hilchos Bikurim. Some of the issues that we're going to discuss at the end, it just pays to read through the whole Minchas Chinuch, Shin Sadi Beis. He raises a lot of the questions of Hafrasha, Nasina, Kinyan. Yeah, you don't have to agree with his analysis on every single point, but the analysis is always obviously very trenchant and important. Some of them hopefully we'll get to. And also just to go through the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Shinhei. If you do that, you'll have everything. But at least the issues, I think we've pretty much, or at least by the end of the day, we will have hit most of the basic issues. Okay, so what we have to do today is several things. The last thing that we discussed was Shitas HaRambam. I think we were on, just going chronologically, we had gone through, I think we're up to Mem. Last thing we were discussing was the Sugya Mem Tes Amud Aleph, Mem Tes Amud Beis. Till then we've gone pretty straight, skipping a few little things, but mostly. That is the Machlokas here. The last thing that we discussed was the Gemara here on Mem Chesam Aleph, Mem Chesam Beis. The Machlokas from Meir and Rabbi Huda in the Mishnah. What happens if the father dies? Whether or not the children can collect Nischaiva Nechasim B'Nechasim or not? That's the issue that we were discussing. That's Machlokas. Seems to be Machlokas from Meir and Rabbi Huda, and the Gemara debates whether that machlokas is within 30 days or after 30 days, etc. And the last thing that we discussed was the psak of the Rambam. The Rambam says in Perek Yudalef Hilchos Bikurim, Halacha Chaf, that even if the father dies within the 30 days, nonetheless, his nechasim are mishabed, are mishubadim for the gvias pidjon haben. That's the sheet of the Rambam. And he very much emphasizes this point, that it's the Nechasim, it's emphasized that way already in the Mishnah, very interesting Mishnah. The Mishnah says that that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Nischaivu Nechasim. And then in the Shakla Vitari of the Gemara here on Mem Chesam Beis, at one point when the Gemara is discussing Chamesh Velo Chatzi Chamesh, so the Gemara raised the question, Ihachi Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nischaivu Nechasim, Nischaiv Gavra Miboile. Now, as it happens, Rashi downplays that line. Rashi says, well, you know, the guy should just be chayiv to pay whatever he can pay from the nechasim. But I think in light of the Rambam, who emphasizes this halacha, and in light of what we said about it, there's something else going on in the Gemara here. That's in addition to the discussion itself, the Gemara is really touching on an important question, namely, how personal is the, how much of a chovas hagavra is this, and how much of a chiyuv Mamon, namely a chiyuv nechasim. Now, there can be a chiyuv, this we're going to discuss a lot today, there can be different types of kiyume chiyuv mamons. Sometimes a mitzvah is accomplished, bederech nesinas mamon. The question is, that's just the method of implementation. Or, in the other extreme, it's really a chiyuv mamon mitchila v'yad sof. It's not even a chovas agavra, it's a chovas mamono. In between that, there can be a chiyuv gavra, which is a chiyuv mamon. Okay, so this is a very, very subtle distinction, but a very important one. We already discussed it a little bit with the context of the Gra. Right? The Gra had said that not only is the Rama wrong in his demand that there be no shlichos bepidyon haben, but you don't even need das bailam. Anybody can do it because the chol bialma, the haraya, there are shibudim. That was the comment of the Gra. So as we pointed out, one could have taken the Gra to say it's a chiyuv mamon mitchila v'ad sof. But then you really have a tough time explaining some of the limitations in Pidgin Aben. Why not Bishtar? How could there be this view of Chamesh v'lo Chatzi Chamesh? As well as some of the other dinim that seem to indicate strongly that there's a formal component here. So what we explained was that according to the Gra, there's definitely a formal component, but the formal component is formulated as a mitzvah of Piron Chov. Okay. So the point is that the language of the Mishnah, and possibly this part of the Shaklavatari of the Gemara and the Chesed Bay, so the Gemara says, well, then it wouldn't be called a Chi of Nechase, it wouldn't be called a Chi of Gavra, is very, very important to the understanding of Pidgin Aben. And I think that's possibly what the Rambam has in mind as well. What we said for the Rambam was that while the Rital Ghazi sees this Rambam as a function of Toch Shloshim Yom also being a Chiyuv Pidgin Aben, that's why the Rital Ghazi reads the Rambam is, the Rambam holds that even if the father dies early, nonetheless, once the 30-day period hits and it's Yotzah Michashash Nefel, so at that point in time, there was a Chiyuv L'mafreya Mishas Leda, and therefore his Nechasim are Mishubadim. That's how the Rital Ghazi reads the Rambam. But if that's the case, I said it's a little bit difficult, the emphasis on the Nechasim part. Moreover, again, he has a good hara that the Rambam paskins, like Rav, that if you are podet toch lamed yom, le'inyan la'achar lamed yom, it's afilun sachlo hamos, again, the next Gemara that we're going to discuss soon, the Gemara here on Mem Tes Omed Aleph and Mem Tes Omed Beis, the Rambam is the only one who paskins like Rav, seemingly against the language of the Gemara, so he wants to make that l'shitaso. But the fact is that even if that's true, it doesn't necessarily mean that the chiyuv is toch lamed yom. Number two, it doesn't justify the formulation of the nechasim being the mechayiv. And I would say number three, I guess looking ahead a little bit, the Rambam seems to paskin like the like the Bali Tosis against Rashi, or against the way Rashi is normally understood. It's normally understood that Rashi holds that the only reason that there's a requirement of Shloshim Yom is because of Nefel, Chashash Nefel. And a Nefel is Potor mi Pidgin Aben. That's the way that the Bali Tosis understand it, and Bava Kama Yud Aleph, we'll get to in a minute, or more than a minute, but we'll get to it today. In Bava Kama Yud Aleph and in Menachos, also on Lamed Zayin, and the way the Marital Ghazi also understands Rashi, is that Lu Yitzuyar, you really knew that it was Kololo Chadasha, that this is a child which wasn't a Nefel. So you could even have a Chalos Pidgin Aben B'toch Lamed Yom. And if you held that way, so then to say what the Rambam says, as the Rital Ghazi understood it, is really not so difficult, because we're based not only in Murtazi Bram Paskin like Rav, but the Ram would say, like Rashi, that the only reason we ever have to wait for the Lamed Yom anyways is because of Chashash Nefel. However, as others point out, the Ram doesn't seem to hold like that Rashi. The Rambam reads the Gemara in Bava Kama like the Bali Tosis. The Gemara in Bava Kama speaks about a Trefa. Rashi says that Trefa means Neharag. And the Rambam and Bali Tosis interpret that means Kishmo Kenu, like a real Trefa. So many understand the Rashi that Rambam actually doesn't hold that the problem is only one of Safek Nefel. So this would be a third problem. So I think the alternative is to say that the Rambam Shita is that there can be a Kiyum HaMitzvah La'achar Moso here. Normally we say that a mace is Potter Min HaMitzvahs. But the question then will be, what kind of mitzvah is a mace Potter, most of them, and when is he Chayiv? And here I think there are two points that are crucial. One is the idea of the Avnei Nezer that I mentioned. It's a very famous Avnei Nezer. I'm just going to read the line now, where he says as follows. He's talking about the issue of Shibudim generally, whether there is Shibudim in mitzvos. issue which we're going to get to soon. V'acharei neshikas afro shel harashba, yeshlom ratam kivan de milvahu, ukeshemeis v'nasa chafshim na mitzvahs, ozda mitzvaso. He explains, we're talking about a milvah, so he has a chov to pay back. And once he's dead, he's no longer a gavra, so he's patur min mitzvos. Prius b'chov mitzvah, assuming. Velo dami, assuming that it's not shibur daraisa. Velo dami la'olas re'ia de yarshim chayavim. V'chein pidgin aben k'di'isa kolze b'choros. The shiny pidgin aben de mitzvah miskayemes bibno la'achar misa sa'av. V'einu mitzvah sa'av rak mitzvah haben al ha'av. V'nishtabdu nichse ha'av gamkein l'mitzvah haben v'afilu meis haben akati shayich be'pidyon. Shorim b'varchen acham mitzvah haben al pidyono. U'liyesh poskim gam shechayanu. So basically what the Avnei Nezer is saying here is very, very profound, very subtle. He's basically saying that when we analyze the father's obligation to be podes b'no, right, it doesn't fit into any neat category. Normally you would think, oh, he's a kind of an apotropos for the mitzvah haben. Or, there's a chiyuv, ha'av, it's a chiyuv ha'av, mitchila v'yad sof. Right? If it's a, either a chiyuv ha'av, mitchila v'yad sof, or a chiyuv to be an apotropos for the son, so then after he dies, then obviously there's no such mitzvah. And even if he leaves nechassim. Of course, once he was mechuyim, mechayim, then that chiyuv, whatever the reason for it is mishabed es nechassav. But what the Avnei Nezer is saying is, it's neither of those two, although he doesn't formulate them. What he's saying is, it's a chiyuv of the father klape bno. It's not his chiyuv because it's his rachis and he has to do it, and the bno is a chetimtzi. Right? The bno requires a pidyon, and that's the father's obligation. Not as his apotropos. It's his chiyuv klape bno. That's a category. Moreover, if that's the case, so basically let's start first. So the Avnei Nezer says if that's the case, so then that could apply even lachar misa. He's a chafshi min mitzvos when he has chiyuve gavra for himself. Right? When it's about his kiyum mitzvah. But here he has the chiyuv for his son's kiyum mitzvah. If you will. It's a very, as I say, important category in general about a father and a son, that there could be such a thing. It's his chiyuv for the son's kiyum. His chiyuv for the son's kiyum is something which can outlive even him. But I would just take it a step further and say, maybe, according to the Rambam, if that's a pshat in the Rambam, he doesn't say this is the pshat in the Rambam, others say, based on the Avnei Nezer, it's a pshat in the Rambam, that if that's the case, it may also be because it's a kind of a chiyuv that is on the chasav. This idea of a chiyuv klape bno could also still be formulated in two ways. It's his chovas hagavra to make sure that his son is mekayim this mitzvah, or it's a financial obligation that he has to his son to make sure that he fulfills this mitzvah. The chiyuv is the son's. The mamonis, the chiyuv mamon of the son's chiyuv is the father's. And I think that's what the Rambam understands the Mishnah to be saying according to Rav Yehuda. And that's why when the Gemara discusses back and forth, and the Gemara says, oh, maybe it depends on the regular din of shibudim, that's no, chamesh, chatzi chamesh, you have to work out the details. The Gemara is not just saying what Rashi said, oh, you should be chayiv, the nusach of the Mishnah shouldn't be, chiyuv ha-chasim, it should be chiyuv ha-ben. But I think according to the Rambam, we'd have to explain that what's going on in the discussion of the Gemara is this subtle question. Is it really the father's chiyuv? Or maybe it's also the son's chiyuv, and the father's merely an apotropos. Maybe it isn't this middle category of chiyuv ha'av klape b'no, or klape chiyuv mitzvahs b'no. Moreover, Maybe it's a chovas agavra, in which case, if he's dead, if he dies, that's the end of it. He's chavshim in the mitzvah. He doesn't exist anymore. Is it a chovas nechasim? Is it a financial obligation that he has towards it securing this kiyum mitzvah for his son? That's exactly the language of the Mishnah, and I think the language of the Rambam. Okay, this idea that the Rambam is based on the Amnei Nezer, as I've seen people say it, I'm trying to remember where exactly, but Achronim say it, that it's connected also to the language of the Mishnah, and that that's how we should understand the Shakla V'Tari of the Gemara, that I haven't seen, but I'm suggesting it. Okay.
What's the exact reference for the
Amnei Nezer? The Amnei Nezer is in Yoredeya, Simin Kuf Samaches. I'm sorry, maybe he does quote the Rambam here, doesn't he? No, I think so. V'chein pidgin aben, kishelo nishtayra l'chamesh slayim, v'l'achar misaso nimker u'chatzi nechassim, kim shelo nishtayra l'chatzi chamesh, en agova mehem, k'd'isu bebekoros. V'avti nishtabin nechassim, shari t'chilo hayu chamesh slayim, u'ma bekach, achshav leka chamesh shleimim, v'en kan mitzu, mekol mokram ha'nechassim nishtabdu. Elevadei ha'nechassim lom nishtabdu, rak le'mitzvah. U'kash ozol mitzvaso, ozol shibud nechassim. Basically, what he's saying is, it isn't just a chi of mamon, and it also isn't just apotropsus klape b'no, and it also isn't his chiyuv. It's something a lot more subtle and complicated. It's a chiyuv nechasim klape chiyuv klape kiyum mitzvas b'no. Okay. So that's the Amnei Nezer. And in light of that, I wanted to suggest also that we could explain the Marit, which we'll maybe get back to. Marit has a very unusual reading of the Gemara about the Kedima, you know, of the father and over the son, or the son of the father. Which pigeon comes first? If you have, Gemara says in the case here, if you have Bnei Chori, again, we have the discussion in the Mishnah on Mem Tesem Aleph, who liftos and b'no liftos, who kodum lebno. Rabbi Yudah Mer Bno Kodmo, Shemitzvas al Aviv, Umitzvas Bno Alav. Then the Gemara has the discussion. Gemara quotes Rabbi Yirmiyah on Mem Tes Omud Beis. Tan Rabbanan, who liftos a Bno, liftos who Kodmo Libno, Rabbi Yudah Mer Bno Kodmo, Shemitzvas al Aviv, Umitzvas Bno Alav. I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah. Hako Modem Hechid Lake Elakamesh Slime, who Kodmo Libno. My Tamid Mitzvah Day Adif. Ki Pligi Hechidika Kamesh. Bishubados the Chamesh Bnei Chori. Rabbi Yudah Savar Milak Suv Batar Ksuv Bishtar Dami Vididei Ozil Batarif Mishabdi Bahana Chamesh Bnei Chori in Parak Leila Bre. Rabbanan Savar Milak Suv Batar Lav Ksuv Bishtar Dami Hilkach Mitzvah Didei Adif. So it's a very big, difficult problem how to read this Shakla V'Tari. This is the same Shakla V'Tari that appears also in Kedushin Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. And I say the Balei Tosfos are bothered by the question. Heichat tarif mishabdi ha'in defroim min chasim mishubadi b'makom sheish bnei chorin v'ha'ika chamesh bnei chorin. Let him be obligated to be poda himself from the bnei chorin. In which case there'll be no shibudim, since the shibudim are too late for the pidyon of his son. And let the lekucho say, we're not going to accept the. Take the gviya mibnei chorin. V'imayaporek bno tchila havanicha. Tells us, however, it must be a case where he did it this way. But even then, v'im tomer akati lahadu lekuchos mehani chamei shepada kohen bno the marashach shibudam kodem uledes bno, and so on. That's Tosus's question. So the Marit, I think I mentioned this at the end of last time, the Marit in Kiddushin on Chavtes on the base. Says he doesn't understand Tosis's question at all. What's Tosis asking? Even if the pidyon was first done for the through the nechasim mishubadim. I'm sorry. Even if the pidyon was first done in the bnei chorin for the child, it wouldn't make a difference because either way, the lekuchos always have the taina to say. Nobody should be able to grab from us, because the obligation that you're trying to pay with our nechasim mishubadim, you could have paid still with bnei chori. There's no objective reason why you happen to choose first or second, and therefore we can undo everything. We refuse to give you the mishubadim. That's Tosa's question. That's what Tosa struggles with. So the Marit is a very fascinating line where he says, well, it does seem from the sugya that we just read, it's fascinating that it comes from here, Mem Chesem and Aleph, it seems that the father left Nechasim Mishubadim La'achar Lamed Yom. Forget the Rambam for a moment. Let's say the father died after Lamed Yom when he had a chiyu to be Podes Beno, and there is Shibud Nechasim. So it seems clear, everybody, Gemara says right away, right? That's the Demesa Av Emas. Hilem Demesa La'achar Lamed Yom, Bahorim Rameir, Kichilku Pturim, Ho'ishtab the Lula Nichsi. So the Marit says, how come the Gemara on Mem Chesem and Aleph thinks it's obvious that if they're Nechasim Mishubadim, they'll be Gviya? The father just died. Why not say that the son who has Nechasim Bnei Chori should have to pay from the Nechasim Bnei Chori, not from the Mishubadim of the father? Now the truth is not the strongest question. We don't know that he had Nechasim Bnei Chorin, the child had Nechasim Bnei Chorin here, number one. Number two, it's quite possible, we'll get to this in a minute, but if the child was underage, if he was under Bar Mitzvah, he didn't have the Chiyuv to be Podes Atzmo at that point. So maybe there's no Chiyuv Bnei Chorin. Oh, there isn't the Nechasim Mishubadim. So it's like, it's not a question of, you know, Ein Nefraim and Arev Tchila. There's only the Arev at this point in time. So the Marit's question, I think, is not from Mem Chesem and Aleph against Tosas's discussion is not so devastating. However, what is important is the Marit's perspective. What Marit is trying to say is there's a very strong reason why the Lekuchos don't have a Taina. And the truth is they wouldn't really have a Taina even if he had both options in front of him right now. That's even if we didn't conclude, as Tosas did, that already the Bnei Chorin were used for Pidyon Beno. Let's say it wasn't. Let's say right now he hasn't done either Pidyon. Like Rashi says in Kiddushin. He can choose to be Poda Es Atzmo with the Nechasim the Shibadim of his father, and only then to use the Bnei Chori for his son. Why can he do that? So Rashi and Kiddushin, we'll get back to that in a minute, but Rashi and Kiddushin gives one answer. But the Marit is basically saying, not in so many words, but basically what he's saying is for a very simple reason. The Lekuchos have no Taina because it's the father's obligation. If it's the father's obligation, then it should be paid with his money. The Bnei Chori are not the father's, not mitzuruf to the father anymore. Or maybe that mitzvah to the father at all, the Bnei Chori of the child. The Nechasim Mishubadim are mitzvah to the father. We're talking about two different parties here who are chayiv. Basically, the father is chayiv, right, from the grave to be Podes Beno. The son is chayiv to be Pode, his son. So what taina do the Lekuchos have? The reason that you're going to the Mishubadim first is because the father, who's the Mechuyev party here, he has no alternative. He has no Bnei Chori. Again, he doesn't say in so many words. That's basically what he says. And I think of Velvel in the Chidush HaGriz here in Bechoros, I think that's what he's getting at also. He's also very bothered by Tosas' question. And he seems to be... Do we have it here? I know Yoni usually has one, I see. Who knows what else is in there, you know? So if you look at the... I think that's what he's bothered by as well. I think he's saying, well, what's the problem? This is the father's obligation. But I don't think it's such a dover... The reason that Tosas doesn't like that is Tosas will say, what do you mean it's the father's obligation? The father's dead. There may be Nechasim v'Shubadim, but that doesn't make it the father's obligation. Nechasim v'Shubadim is a... You know, is a detached, impersonal, objective. It's a chiyuv arev, like Rabbi Flato said the other day, right? Like for the grub, it's like a third party is paying, not even the father anymore. However, if we take the view that in Pidyon HaBen, that's the nature of this particular chiyuv, and it's the nature of that chiyuv to begin with, namely that it is a chiyuv of the father klape the kiyum of his son. It's not his kiyum. It's the son's kiyum. But it's his chiyuv. That's not the way the Aryeh Avnei-Nezer puts it, but I think that's what he's saying. And moreover, it's a financial, it's in its nature a financial obligation, which is why even though a meis is patur, is chafshi min ha-mitzvos, but vis-a-vis this, it's mitzuruf to the father because his finances continue on some level. Mishubad, that's a mishubad amar. So in a way, it's not that, you know, it's not a third party. This is a way to collect from the father, la karmoso. It would be very important. Again, the Avnei Ezer just says it, but it would explain not only the Rambam Shita about Toch Lamed, meaning the Shibud being created. These are different chidushim. You could disagree with either one. I'm just pointing out they have something in common. The chidush of the Rambam, if it's interpreted this way, is that the Shibudim can be created Acha Lamed Yom, even though he's already Mace. The chiddush of the Marit, I think also the Griz, is that this is considered Gevia, and the mitzvah, or the Chiyuv mitzvah of the father, or the Chiyuv mitzvah of the father, Le'inyan Chiyuv Beno, La'achar Moso. And therefore, it legitimately takes priority. It doesn't come into the normal rubric of Heinachnu L'cha, you know, Nechasim, that Ein Govin Mim Nechasim Mishubadim, B'makom Sheyesh, Nechasim b'nei chorin. Okay, so this I think is very, if it's true, this Marit, this Avnei Nezer, this explanation of the Rambam would be a very important yesod, the whole idea of Chiyuv Pidyon HaBen. And again, it might help also for the Gra's comment about Shibudim, which we'll get back to. Okay, basically, all of this is tied up with the broader issues that we've been discussing, which are very, very difficult to pin down, admittedly, but it's just important to know and to formulate them. Namely, what is the role of the Kohen? Is this a real pidyon? Who is the Konah? Who is the Maknah? The Rashba is a tshuva. Again, just to more in the overview sense, I'm not trying to pin down specific shitas at the moment, but and just to make it clear that these are some of the issues. The Rashba's Tshuva in Chelek Aleph Simin Shin Lamed Ches. How come in the Pidyon HaBen, the Kohen doesn't make the Shechiyanu? Father makes the Shechiyanu. That's the Gemara in the very, very, very end of Pesachim, the last Gemara in Pesachim. Right? The Pidyon HaBen, you make two brachos. The Avi HaBen makes both brachos. Again, in this Tekes of the Gaonim, they had the Kohen making brachos and so on. But the, the Gemara doesn't have it. So the Rashba says, how come? Why not? After all, it's Mata Hanah L'Yadeh. So he gives two answers. One is, because in Matnas Kahuna, we don't find that the Kohen makes a bracha when he's Mekadah. According to that view, we are comparing, that's one of the issues that we've been discussing, is Pidyon HaBen like Matnas Kahuna or not? Rambam puts in Uchus Bikurim, but it may not be like Matnas Kahuna from several points of view, even opposite points of view. So that's his first answer. That Avagav Demati Hanah LeKohen Al Yivarech Shechiyanu Demand Deboi La Rishum Dika Birchas whatever. That's one answer. The second answer is Harizak Kashar Matnas Kuhuna Avagav Demati Hanah LeKohen In Avar Shechiyanu. The second answer is the ode that's not comparable at all. And that is because this is davar echad atoli b'shnayim. It's not a davar shatoli b'shnayim. Kigon zesha av podeva koin mekabel ein mevarech al echad. Hareza kigon kone kelim. Right? Sha kone mevarech v'lo amocher. So the Rashba says the reason that the father makes the brachas because he's the kone. Not like Matnas Kahuna at all. It means opposite of the first answer. Who's a Makna and who's the Kona in Pidyon HaBen? Do you look at it from the point of view of the son, or the child, or the money? Right? From the point of view of the child, the father is the Kona, and the Kohen is the Makna. Again, do you take that seriously at all? We discussed already that to Machlokas HaPoskim. But even in terms of the money, right? Is it really a kinyan for the Kohen? Or is it Piron Bialma? Or is it just a hafrasha? Is it a nesina? Is it a kabbalah? These exactly are the issues. The other tshuva of the Rajah, which I mentioned last time, where he contrasts it with Matmas Kuna on the other sense. So this is the famous tshuva, Simen Yud Ches, where the Rajba asks the question that the Gaonim already discussed a lot. How come some mitzvahs have a bracha, some mitzvahs don't have a bracha? Not, I'm not talking about Shechiyam, I'm talking about regular bracha. So he develops several ideas. Number one, he says, Ein mevarchen al mitzvah she'ena tluya kula biyad ha'ose. She'efshe shalei yisratzu b'chavero, v'nimtza ma'isim is batel. Kagon matnas aniyim. Havas adalim, nesinas tzaka, that's one issue. Sounds like he therefore believes that in Pinjan Aben, that Nesina Balkar Chashma Nesina, which is a huge debate in the Rishonim. Tosas in Kiddushin, Tavches, seems to say that Nesina Balkarcha doesn't work in Pinjan Aben. Rajba here seems to think so. The Ksos has a whole discussion about this. Ksos thinks that the Midchas Chinuch, that Nesina Balkarcha works in Pinjan Aben. That's one issue. The other issue is, he says, V'chein matnas kahuna, ein mevarchen al nesinasan, de'ena Yisrael nosin mishalo, elash Hashem yizbarach, zacha osan nekoin mishulchan gavoa kazachu. Number one, it's not his, it's mishulchan gavoa. And number two, because it's mishulchan gavoa, there's already a chalos after the hafrasha, and he can just take it. Right? U'nesinas shekel b'shana kiyotze bo. Aval al pidgin aben hafrashas chalo maestros mevarech she'en mevarech al nesina ela al hafrasha v'al pidgin. And as I pointed out, the Rivash has a tshuva, I think in Kuflam and Ches, which is almost the exact opposite. Right, and we had the discussion of the Marit al Ghazi. How can there be regarding the sugya and memzayin with this? How can there be a hafrasha without a nesina at all? There's no chalos. You can give whatever you want. There's no yichus to this particular Chamesh Shkalim, and we had the Machne Ephraim. There's no Tokfu Kohen, Ein Motzin Miyado, and Pidgin Aben, right? Because there's no Chalos HaFrasha. There's nothing for him to grab. And you need Achrayas. So, what I'm trying to point out is, it's very, very complicated. How Mamoni is this? How much of a Nesina? Probably the answer to that is, but even if it's very mamoni, even if it's piron chov, it's a piron chov, which is a symbol, not a reality, and therefore that symbol is formalized, which explains some of the dinim. How much, who's the kone, who's the makne? Is it a hafrasha, a nesina, a kabbalah, a pidyon, a kinyan? What exactly is it? All these issues are debated in the different rishonim and different poskim, depending on how you read the several Gemaras. That's why, when hopefully we'll get to it in the end in a minute, but not only do you have to continuously compare Pidgin Aben to other Matnos Kahuna, right, which is what they're doing, Linyan Bracha, Linyan Nesina Balkarcha, Linyan Tokfu Kohen, and so on and so forth, down the line, right? Makirei Kahuna is a big debate. Does the principle of Makirei Kahuna apply to Pidgin Aben if you have somebody who you normally give your matanos to? Does he have the rights of Pidgin Aben like he has for other matnos kahuna or not? You have to keep looking at matnos kahuna and comparing and contrasting, but also other kinyanim. Particularly, a fruitful area to compare turns out to be kinyan kiddushin, and that just makes it more complicated. Right, the Gemara speaks about Pidgin Aben in context of Kinyane Kedushin. The Gemara speaks about Matano Benas L'Hachzir, right, on Vavman Beis in Kedushin. The Gemara has a sugya of Linti Di Shavali, Gemara Masechet Kedushin, that some Rishonim think applies also to Kedushin. Shtar Admei, which I hope we'll speak about before today is up, writing an IOU. Rishonim talk about that in terms of Kiddushin, and that's where the Minchas Chinuch goes to town. Minchas Chinuch says, what about a milva? And what about a mashkon? And what about whatever you give is worth, the Shava Pruta that you give, the Shava Kesef that you give, is worth five for her, but not for him. Or for him, no, there's no him and her in this case. for the father and not for the Kohen, or for the Kohen and not for the father, just like we find in Kiddushin. And what about Milva? And what about Hana'a? And so on and so forth. Every issue that you can imagine. Very much depends. I mean, are you going to compare it to the Kinyan Kiddushin, where the Baal is a Kone and the Isha is a Makne? Is that what's happening in Pidgin Aben? If it's only a Dinan Hafrasha, it's not a Kinyan at all, or Piron Achov, then it can get away with much less, or in some cases it needs more. So these questions, whether or not it's who's the Kona, who's the Makne, is it a real Pidgin? Nesina, Hafrasha, Pidgin, Kabbalah, all these issues have to be examined. Okay, we're not going to be able to do all of them. Let's just discuss some issues, but it's complicated by the fact that some of these issues also need to be pinned down in their own right. In other words, where you need Nesina, what kind of, is Nesina Bal Korcha Nesina, or it's just not a Kabbalah? Is Nesina Bal Korcha Hafrasha? Right? Is Hiskaivus? It might be a Piron of sort, but is it a Nesina? So you have to, what you have to do in each case is you have to go to the other areas where we can try to pin it down. And once you do the work there, then try to figure out the discrepancies with Pidgin Aben. That's the task that lies ahead of us. We're not going to be able to do all that today. That's what needs to be done. So let's discuss instead four specific issues. The first one we want to discuss now is the question of Shibudim. As we noted, for the Gra, the fact that there's Shibud Nechasim characterizes Pidgin Aben in such a way that it makes it possible, not only do you not need the personal touch of the father, but you don't even need his rishus, his das, it's piron, achov, anybody could do it, that it should be done is what's important, that somebody out there is making sure that there's a matnas kahuna of 5 sloim in the name of this child, that's what's important and nothing else. Where does he get that from? From the fact that there are shibudim. Okay. So this idea that there are shibudim in Pidgin Aben appears to be established twice in the sugyas here. Number one, the mission that we just read, Mem Chesam and Aleph, the Gemara says Demesa Av Emas Ilim Demesa Achar Lamid. Right? Why is it Peturim Hayishtablon La Lenichse? Okay, the idea of shibudim. And then, of course, the Gemara talks about Milva Ksuv B'Torah Kimilva B'Shtar Dami, Kiksuv B'Shtar Na. And then later on, under Nala from the base, in the very end, before that's what meets up, that's what links us to the Bechor L'Nachal Sugya, until the end of the Sakta, the last few lines on Nun Aleph Amid Beis, Gemara talks about the Mokor for a Mafresh Pidgin Beno V'Yavad Chayav Bachriyus. So again, the fact that there's a Chayav Bachriyus is also part of the issue, as we've discussed. That implies a Kabbalah, or is that just the Shiur in the Nesina itself? It's got to be a Nesina, you know, which is followed through with. The Gemara says, Amrav Shimon, Lakash Asya Erech Me'erchin, Rav Dimir Rav Yonason, V'chor Banecha Tifteh, V'lo Yor Panay Reikam, Yalef Reikam, Reikam Me'olas Re'iyah, Ma'olas Re'iyah Chai Bach Re'yusah, Pidgin Aben Chai Bach Re'yusah. This itself is very fascinating, and this is what distinguishes Peter Chamor from Pidgin Aben. It becomes a very crucial issue. Again, the idea that there's no Chalos Hafrasha partly comes from a certain understanding that Chiyuv Achrayus means that there's no shame Pidgin Aben until then. It doesn't have to be that way, but this is an important, very important halach. So then the Gemara says, Masketh l'Rav Papa, Kra l'Kra. El Rav Papa, Ha'ke Niktani Taima, V'hoi L'cha, Ach Pado Tifte. V'chi Itmar, D'rei Shlakish, Arei She Itmar. Mei Slach Alamed Yom, if the child dies, Ava Bishulon Nasan, Yitein. So the Gemara establishes that there's Pidgin Aben. If the child lives 30 days and then dies, there's a chiyuv pidgin aben. The Gemara says minalan. How do you know that's true? Amar Shimon Lakish Asya Erech Erech Me'erchin. Rav Dimi, Om Rav Yonason, Kol Berchor Benayich Tifteh, V'lo Yeru Panay Reikam, Mal Alon Yorshin Chayavin, Afkan Yorshin Chayavin. So this is the Gemara that says that we learn this halacha from the fact that there is, just like there's Shibud Nechasim in the case of Olas Re'iya, so too there's a Chiyuv La'achar Misas Haben. Very strange Gemara. Look at Rashi. That's how Rashi reads the Gemara. Rashi says that the Raya is Ma Olas Ria Yorshin Chayavim De Olas Chovahi Hachanami Kimeis Lachar Lamed Niskay Va'am V'Pidjono The Gabe Ola Schova Tnan Ha'isha Shaviyach Hatasa Mesa Yaviu Yorshin Olasa. So the way Rashi reads this Gemara, he links it to the Gemara in Kiddushin. Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. There the Gemara says, Ha'isha Shavia Chatasa, Umesa Yaviu Yorshin Alasa, Omra Abudah Mar Shmuel, Behusha Frishasa Mechaim. Avalor Frishasa Mechaim Lo, Alma Ksavar Shibuda Lav Daraisa. Gemara says, Omra Vasim Rabbi Yochan, Alpha Bishloy Frisha Mechaim, Alma Ksavar Shibuda Havid Daraisa, Vopligi Chada Zimna. Then the Gemara says, no, either way, Mod Rabbi Yochan by Shlokish, because Milva Ksuv Batar is Kiksuva Bishtar. Dummy. That even if you hold generally Shibuda Lav Daraisa, Milva Ksuva Batara is Kiksuva Bishta. So the way Rashi read the Gemara in Bechoros, I just want to make it very clear. The Gemara Mentes in Bechoros speaks about Shibud Nechasim. That's clear. The Gemara on Nun Aleph Amid Beis, according to Rashi, speaks about Shibud Nechasim. We know that because Rashi says that the halakha of Olas Re'iya is equivalent to the halakha of Korban Yoledes, right? If she brought a chatas, the Yorshim are Mevi'im Olasa. And that Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, that's this Mishnah in Kinin. The Mishnah, the Gemara in Kiddushin, Yud Gimel Amud Beis, says that that's based on either Shibuda Daraisa or Milva Haksuva Batara Kiksuva Bishtar, which is the idea of Shibudim. So generally speaking, it's understood that there are Shibudim. I think when the Gra, if you look at it again, I don't have my Shulchan Aruch here today, when the Gra pointed out that there are Shibudim, he quoted also the Gemara on Nun Aleph Amud Beis. Okay. However, there are several problems here. Number one, if you look very carefully, the Gemara here in Bechoros Nun Aleph Amud Beis, despite Rashi, is not really talking about Shibudim for a pidgin aben. Mem Tesam and Aleph is, but not Nun Aleph Amud Beis. Nun Aleph Amud Beis is really talking about a case where the son dies l'achar lamed, and the question is whether or not there is a chiyuv nonetheless. So again, the way Rashi understands it, obviously, let me make clear the problem. The problem is, normally when we talk about shibudim, it's when the person who's obligated dies. Because if we were talking to an aleph on base, the father dies, and yet your gova, minachasim, mishivot, which is what we're talking about in Memtesim and Aleph, that's a classical case of gviya, minachasim, mishubadim. But minayarshim. But that's not what Nun Aleph on base is about. Nun Aleph on base is when the son dies. So what does that have to do with minachasim, mishubadim? Unless the point is that once the father on Yom Vlamed had a chiyuv, so it becomes a chiyuv, irrespective of anything else, a chiyuv mamon, and we don't care about anything else. Still not so obvious. It's not certainly not the classical notion of shibudim. That's problem number one. Problem number two is the example of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Olas Re'iya. We're learning out Pinjan Aben from Olas Re'iya. So Rashi says, an Olas Re'iya is an Olas Chova, and every Olas Chova, right, has shibudim, that's like the Ola of a Yoledes, the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, the Mishnah in Kinin. However, Ein Advarim Kol Kach Pshutim. Why? The Rambam in Hilchas Chagiga, I told you to look this up, Perek Aleph Halacha Yud. A mafrish olas re'iyasa umeis. Person is mafrish an ola, olas re'iyah, and he dies. Yorshin chayavin lahaviya. So all the Nosa Kalim point out, Kesamishan, Lachamishna, the others, how come if Mafrish Olas Riyasa, he had to mafrish the Olas Riya Bechayim? So then Halacha is, and even though he dies, you'll bring it anyway. After all, what happened to Shibud Daraisa? Or Milvak Suv Batar Kisuv Bishtar? And the Rambam himself, in Hokus Mechusrei Kapara, Perak Aleph, Halacha, Perak Aleph, Hokus Mechusrei Kapara, Halacha Yud Gimel, Ha'isha Shevi'a Chatasa, Umesa, Yaviyu Hayarshim Alasa, Afabi Shaloi Frishosa Mechayim, even though she didn't designate it when she was alive. Kvar Nishtabdu Nechaseha Bekarban, the Rambam knows how to flesh it out when he wants to. The Hashibu did Torah. So here the Rambam is very explicit. Hafrash is not enough. Shibu didn't work. Shibu is a din. Don't ask me questions. Shibu is a din. It's a little defensive. Shibu is a din Torah. The Rambam passes a general Shibu to Daraisa possibly, but certainly Milaksuv B'Torah is going to be Daraisa. So, according to Rashi, it's one of the same halacha, but according to the Rambam, clearly it isn't the same halacha. Now, there's some also Kalim who say, Bidochak, maybe the Rambam, this is something that Lecha Mishnah and the Kesa Mishnah reject, maybe the Rambam in Perek Aleph, Uchaz Chagiga, is talking about a person who doesn't have karka. But why is that case a case where he doesn't have karka, and the case of Mechusir Kapar is a case where they do have karka? They're both cases of stam. Right? I mean, the Isha, you know, Yoledes is wealthier than the regular guy who was a Chiv Olas Riyah, particularly. You don't know either one's financial situation. So if the Rambam was concerned that everybody has karka, then he should have said in both cases of Frisha. And if everybody has karka, then we're back to where we were. So it's very difficult to accept that shot. The Kesa Mishnah and Lecha Mishnah basically throw up their hands. They're mystified. They don't understand it. The truth is, the Sfasemes, under an Aleph and Beis here in Bukharos, is bothered by this question. But the way he puts it is, even before you get to the question, he says, I don't understand the Gemara anyway. How can you compare these two things? For the reason that we asked. After all, how can you compare, number one, Misas HaBen to Misas HaMechuyav? It should have been Misas HaAv. I think he asked that question. Moreover, he says, in the case of Olas Re'ia, it stands to reason maybe there shouldn't be a Shibud. Because it's a Chiyuv mitzvah connected with, you know, Lo Yeru Panai Reikam. If you physically go to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to go with a carbon in your hand. You can't be there without a carbon. So, if you're mafrish the carbon already, so it's a Chiyuv. So Hektish already has its eyes or its Dine Maminus hands on your carbon, and you'll collect it. The Kate's on his bay. Okay? But if not, what would be the point of the Shibud exactly? It's a Shibud, it's a Chiyuv L'mitzvah. And the mitzvah's connected to the act of Re'ia, which either he didn't do, or he did Reikam. And what can you do about that? So the Sfasema says, maybe the Rambam, and then he points out that the Rambam doesn't seem to hold that it's Mishubah. He says, maybe the Rambam had a different gears than the Gemara. Maybe the Rambam was understood that the Gemara was only telling us that just as there is a Tashlumin for Chagiga, but if you don't bring the Olas Riya, and you were Ola Reikam the first day, you still have the rest of the Chag to bring the Ola. So too, just because the child has died doesn't mean that it's over when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, there's still a Chiyuv. The Chiyuv continues. Okay. That's the Sfasemes. What is going on here exactly? To understand this, let's just back up a little bit before that. The Gemara's examples of Shibudim and Mitzvos are very limited. Pidyon HaBen, which is a sugya here in Mem Tesim and Aleph, maybe also in an Aleph and Beis, according to Rashi, but we're not so sure about that anymore. The other mentioned in the Gemaras are Erchin and Yoledes, the Mishnah in Kinin and the Gemara in Kiddushin. It's interesting to note that the Balitosis, in a few places, including Kiddushin Gimel and Reis and Ksuvis, Nunvav, include Nezikin in the category of Milva Haksuva Batorah. The reason that that's striking, that I should add that Tosa Rush in Kiddushin does not mention it on the list. What's striking about that, of course, is Nezikin Milva Haksuva Batorah, or that's, it's like Milva, it's a Chiyuv Misvara. So I think there's a double issue there. Number one, I don't get too far afield in that, but number one, I think the question is, what constitutes Milva Haksuva Batorah as opposed to regular Shibud Darais? Is it a Schaivus Midas? In which case, Nezikin is not a Schaivus Midas. Okay, so the fact that it's Milva Haksuva Batorah and not Shibud Daraisa, or Lav Daraisa, is simply a function of that, that Shibud Daraisa means when he's Mischayev himself explicitly, he takes the initiative. Or does it depend, as some Rishonim have it, on whether the Chiyuv is a Chiyuv Misvara or it's a Chiyuv HaTorah? And some of them believe that any time the Chiyuv is Min HaTorah, it's an obligation, which we wouldn't otherwise know, then we could speak about it as Milva Haksuva Batorah. Whereas the obligation to repay a loan, that's a special din. That's not a special din, that's a Misvara. So then, of course, the inclusion of Nezikin as Milva Haksuva Batorah becomes a cause celeb. That becomes a big issue. Is Nezikin a Chiyuv Svara or not? And, of course, that has to be dealt with in terms of Hilchos Nezikin, which is not for us right now. Sometimes, the Medrash Halacha and the Bali Tosis quoted in the beginning of Bava Kama, they speak about Piraon in Nezikin in terms of Onshin Min Adin. I mean, Onshin? The Tashlumin, it's not Onshin. This is the question. The question is whether or not Chiyuve, Nizke Mamon in particular, Adam Amazik, it's more difficult to explain, but Nizke Mamon are Chiyuv Misvara, and Chiyuv Min Adin, they're pure Choshe Mishpat, or the Iser component, the Chiyuv HaTorah, kicks in as well. You might say that a regular Nizke Mamon is Grama B'Alma. Your animal does it, it's Choser Shmira, that's also kind of a Grama. It's, you're not your animal, your animal's not you. Moreover, there are all sorts of special dinim in Nizakin. There's a patur Tamun Be'esh and Kalim Bebor, which are not particularly obvious. Chatzi Nezek, whether it's Knas or whether it's Mamon, either way it's not obvious. Tzroros, meaning, without going into more details, they speak about Eishli Chadvar Veira in the context of Nizakin. In other words, how much of Nezek is Mamon, how much is Mamon and Svara, how much of it is Chiyuv HaTorah? When the Gemara thought in the beginning of Bava Kama, the Gemara says, the first lines of the Gemara Bava Kama, they ask, Toldosayim ki yotzabayim or lav ki yotzabayim? Are the toldos of the Avos Nezikin equivalent to them or not? There's a huge machlokas harishonim. What was that happen? He ended up saying Toldosayim ki yotzabayim. So Rashi seems to say, the Gemara wasn't sure. Maybe it's only the things that the Torah speaks about. A real bor, a real eish, real shor, hamazik, bekeren, real regel. The other things, even though they're very similar, but in Chabola Chidusha. Whereas the Rif and the Rambam, Rav Elbel speaks about that in the first piece of this came up on. They think, no, that's not what the Gemara means. The Gemara knew that misvara, you're going to be chayav if you're damaged. The only question is, what about the details, the characteristics of the Nezikin? The Ptur of Bor of Kalim, the Ptur in Eish of Tamun. Do these apply to the Toldos of Eish, the Toldos of Bor? What about hybrids and things of that sort? The point is, there's a whole discussion which is relevant to the question of Milva Haksuva Batorah, including Nezikin. For our purposes, though, it's important for another reason. Basically, the Gemara is telling us that Erchin, Pidgin Aben, and at least Yoledes, there is Shibunim. And maybe even based on the principle of Milva Haksuva Batorah. And maybe Nezakin as well. Does this mean that any mitzvah, for any mitzvah there's a Shibud? Or is it limited to these three or four And if so, what is it about these three or four, or if there's one or two more, maybe Olas Riyah, according to Rashi's reading of the Gemara and Aleph on the base, Olas Riyah is included. What about other things? So here we find a huge discussion, and Pidgin HaBen's status in general, being one of the known cases of Shibud L'mitzvos, becomes very crucial. For example, in the extremes, we find the position of the, I think I told you to look at the Agos Maimonios and Agos Talmud Torah, famous quotation of the Maram Rittenberg. Maram Rittenberg seems to say, whatever this kviya b'mitzvos, Gemara says in Ksuvah Staf Pei Vav, that kofen al mitzvah sase, agitates a nafsha. We believe in theory, we believe in religious coercion. Okay. We wouldn't suggest to do it today, for all sorts of reasons, but in a perfect halachic theocracy, kfiya b'mitzvos is a perfectly legitimate idea. Okay, within context, obviously. So the Maran explains that as long as it's kfiya b'mitzvos, there's also gviyah min chasam shabbanim. It's like a korban olah l'yoledes, and it's like pidgin haben. So, for example, you can raid the man's property and confiscate tuition money for teaching his child, which is what that Hagos Maimonios is talking about. Yeah?
Is that based on Nova Ksuvah Torah, or is that like Minerva filming with Al Kafe?
No, it's based on Nova Ksuvah Torah and Shibudim, because what he's suggesting is that if there isn't just Kfiya, we'll explain in a minute, but there is Yerida Minachasav Afilu Shalom Bafanav. Now, what Rabbi Flato is referring to is another possibility, and that is just because it's kviya b'mitzvos doesn't mean that there's nechas kviya b'nechasim b'shabadim shalom b'fanav. The truth is that there's something in between, and that would be kviya. Number one, there could be kviya without kviya at all, right? Secondly, there might be kviya b'fanav, but not shalom b'fanav. This is the way the Ramban explains. Ramban says that Priyas Bachov, the Ramban at the end of Bava Basra, and the Ksos made it famous in Simon Reish Tzadi, Sivkot and Gimel, and earlier we alluded to it in Simon Lamentes, Sivkot and Aleph, when he talks about these issues. Ramban explains that according to the Manama Priyas Bachov Mitzvah, you cannot be Yorid L'Nechasav Shalom B'Fanav. But you could be Yorid L'Nechasav B'Fanav. Let's say the guy refuses to pay, and you coerce him, you pressure him, and he still refuses to pay, can you just confiscate his property? So not all Rishonim think that you can. But the Rabban says yes. Why? Mitoch she'ata kofeyu begufo, ata kofeyu b'mamona. I think that's what you're referring to, right? That's like, it's midei v'afilu miglima dal katpe, meaning it's a form of kviya and gviya mimenu. That's the Chiddush of the Ramban. Again, not everybody agrees with that. But just because you can do that doesn't mean that the nechasim are mishubadim. Therefore, if it's shalom b'fanav or la'achar moso, where there is no minei anymore, right, then it wouldn't apply. So many poskim disagree with this Maram. Maram says, all mitzvos, there is shibudim. If you think not in all mitzvos, and kviya doesn't automatically mean gviya, and even gviya b'fanav doesn't automatically mean mishubadim, so where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line? So it's possible the ein lecha bo lechidusha, only the ones where the Gemara lists luvaksu erchin, pidgin haben, yoledes, maybe olas riyah. According to the Rambam, it seems not even olas riyah. Why? What's going on? So now, if we look at pidgin haben as Rishus Hekdesh in a way, or Rishus Gavoa. So maybe that's the criteria. Or, maybe any time, Rav once suggested this, Rav said, Zechiv, you can Nechasim Shibadim for a Lulav and a Shofar. Maybe according to the Maram, you could. No, only when there's someone who's a recipient, there's a makaba. There's somebody to be goven. Well, Hekdesh is even easier to say. As we've said before, Hekdesh, you could just say it, Rishus Hekdesh. They're really like a Balchov. Even if it's not Hekdesh, but there's a Makabel, there's somebody else involved, he has rights, his squeals. Or, maybe it depends on the nature of that other party's rights. And here's where a pigeon of Ben becomes very crucial. In other words, let's say you have another party, like in the case of pigeon of Ben, you have the Kohen, Matnas Kuna. But maybe it depends very much on the role of the Kohen, as we discussed, in the Parshios, right, in the formulations of the Rishonim, right, in Tokfa Kohen. If the Kohen is a Hechatin, he's the person who gets it in the mail. The address on the envelope goes to the Kohen. But he's not the Mechayev, it's not his Schus. Or is it? If he has Schuyos, then the Shibudin. If he's just the recipient, and it's misleading that there's another party. That's what can we learn from Pidgin Aben to extend to other, possibly to other mitzvos, may very well depend on how you understand the role of the Kohen, and whether or not we're dealing with Nesina, Kabbalah, Hafrasha, Kinyan, Hakna, what is it exactly in Pidgin Aben? Again, that's where the Gra becomes so crucial. The Gra is saying, no, Shibudim are unique to Pidgin Aben, because the Chol B'Alma. Now, Chol B'Alma is still different than the Kohen being the Mechai. But that's where do you draw the line? What is it about Pidgin Aben? Again, Yoledas, clearly it's a Chiyuv and the rights of Hekdesh. In the case of Erchin, the same. But Pidgin Aben, we're just not sure. So if we say, basically, it's a chovas mamon klape banav. Piron chovo linyan zen. If we say either like the Avnei Nezer or like the Gra. Or if we take the opposite view, but we say the Kohen has rights here. These are all different things, but they overlap. The fascinating thing about Pidgin Aben is different perspectives overlap in nafkaminas for different issues. Sometimes, the role of the Kohen is antithetical with being Piron Chov B'Yam. And sometimes they go hand in hand. That's why it's unfortunately a little complicated. The point is, the Shibudim of Pidgin, in terms of their implication for other issues, depends very much on how it works in Pidgin Aben. For example, Tzedakah. There's a huge debate among the Rishonim in Tzedakah whether there's Gviya, whether there's Kviya, whether there's Gviya Bafanav, and whether there's Gviya Shalom Bafanav. There are several Gemaras that say that there's Kviya in Tzedakah. Gemara Bava Basra, Tav Ches, I think. The Gemara in Ksuvis, Mem Ches. Gemara speaks about forcing people to give Tzedakah, coercing in Tzedakah. And the Bali Tosis always ask, how can there be coercion in tzedakah? It's matan, it's mitzvah shematan, schara b'tzeda, and ein bezdin muzarin aleha. So Tosis in Ksuvis and Bava Basra all over the place. Rosh Hashanah and Rishonim talk about it, Avav, the Pichas u'tzedakah. They talk about there is a kfiya and it's an exception. Or no, the Gemaras are talking about a special ischaivos, it's not midin Torah. Different days in Bali Tosis and Rishonim. There may not even be kviya, in other words. If there's kviya, is there gviya? So the Rambam in Matan Sani in Perek Zayin, Halacha Yud, paskins that there's gviya, befanav. All the poskim then start fighting, only befanav, but not shalom befanav. So the Shach says, no, the Rambam means afila befanav. You might think befanav, you should force him to do it willingly. Kamash Malad, even if he's there, you can grab his property. And kol shekein shalom befanav. That's the Shach. And the other poskim say absolutely not. That's not what it means. It means only b'fanav. The Ksos speaks about it. It's in Reish Tzadi, Sivkat, and Gimel. It means only b'fanav. Why? Because like the Ramban, mitoch, like miglimadad, afilu miglima dal katvei, meaning mitoch shekofeu begufo, kofeu b'mamono. But there's no shibud and tzedakah. So the Ksos in Sinan Reish Tzadi says, well, according to the Maram, there certainly is. Right? And according to the Keseth Mishnah, Nuchas Matnas Anim, it also seems like he holds that there is shibudim. And the Radvaz, he doesn't mention this in Matnas Anim, Perek Zayin Halacha Yud, and the Ritvad, Bav Masr, and Ksuvis, speak about tzedakah as if it's a Baal Chov. Shibud and Shibud and Araisa. So the Ksos says, even if you don't hold like the Maran in general, but mitzvos mamonios, there always should be gviyah menachasim v'shibadim. Im kein, I'm reading from Reish Tzadi Sivkot and Gimel, miyunir to the female shakas v'kesef Mishnah, im kein yachal yos demo denami beis yosef lachtinu demaran betal betorah, the bezin yordin l'nachasim shalom b'fanav, would be ikar divrei kesef mishnah shekasa demona shalona b'shubad las as mitzvahs tzedaka near minei desfiru le shibud dechasa b'tzedaka kamo shar chov anias daiti kena dvarim dechonim kibin dekaimel and shibud deraisa b'milva alpeh b'kolshkei b'milva ksuv batara imkein lo gara mitzvahs tzedaka mi mitzvahs pidyon aben de shibud deraisa kamo shem mevur b'perek yesh b'char v'chein gavei olas yoledes. The chaynir behold the kasaram the nishtata bezin yordan the kasav. Question: would you be mechalik between lachar moso and nishtata? The ksos goes further. The ksos says even if a person is no dil tzedaka, there's a tshuva of the Rama that if you're no dil tzedaka, there's no giviyim and nechasam and shabbat. It's like any other shmur that you make. It's a chiv to do it, but it's not. You can't just raid his property and confiscate his money. So the Ksos says, no, I think it's wrong. Because when you're nodal at tzedakah, it's beficha tzedakah, you're chayiv to pay. And then he says, and even if I will concede, even though I think this is true, he says, that even nodal at tzedakah, there's kfiyah and there's gviyah in b'shabadim, even if there's a difference between the nodal at tzedakah and the basic chayiv tzedakah, on the basic chayiv tzedakah, I'm really sure that there is a chayiv nechasim, but there is gviyah in nechasim, Mishubadim. And why am I so sure about it? Because, after all, Aval fima shakasa denodu nishtab denuchasa kibida tor tziva uska bekach, fichus et staka, in came shvua shiny de shvua, ena ela, sheshum balyacha, she over balyacha devara, ena medabra be mitzvos shebemamon, ela har lehetim. Aval fichus et staka, the mitzvah shebemamon, hakasa medabra, have the kamok shine mitzvah shebemamon shebetor, the mitzvah shtabin. So he thinks the criterion is mitzvos shebim mamon, mitzvos that are implemented through mamon, as opposed to a chiyuv shvua or a chiyuv lulav. But he says, even if that's wrong, at least one could say, amnam l'anias daiti afilu nich afilu neima, that it doesn't work in nedarim. Bikomakam dira d'haynu dafka b'noder d'ham. It's also not say the fichas and stocker, even though it ends up being a chiyuv mamon. It's bal yachel. Aval b'tzedakah nira l'nias daita, the basic chiyuv of tzedakah, he says, in that case, mitzvahs tzedakah harehu kimo mitzvahs pidyon aben. That it is a mitzvah mamonios. What's he saying? So the Ksos is taking a very hard view here. Even if you don't like the Maram about mitzvahs, generally, mitzvahs mamonios, shiny. And within mitzvahs mamonios are two categories. One is a mitzvah which by definition is implemented through money. That's neder tzedakah. But the mechayev isn't the chiyuv mamon. The mechayev there is the neder. Hashem kein tzedakah itself. That's a chiyuv mamoni to begin with. It's not only a kiyum through the mamonis. It's a chiyuv mamonis. And that for sure has shibudim. Is that, and how do we know this? Pidyon aben. Not necessarily. Maybe because in pidyon aben, it's the mechayev of the mekabel. Or maybe because pidyon aben, like we explained for the Avnei Nezer, is a chiyuv mamon, like the Mishnah said, it's a chiyuv mamoni, not just a chiyuv mamon to begin with, but it's the chiyuv is through his mamon. The chasim are mechuyamim. Which is why it can maybe be la karmisa. So where you draw the line in Pidgin Aben, both in the role of the Kohen and in the nature or the extent to which it's an actual Chiyuv Mamon, is going to be crucial to whether you extend this to Tzedakah and even to Nidrei Tzedakah, never mind to other mitzvahs. Having said that, so the point may be that in Tzedakah, for example, there's a huge debate in the Rishonim, what is the role of the Mekabel, the Ani? Is the Ani in Tzedakah Bal Chov, like the Radvaz and the Ritva say? Or is he a Hechetimtzi? There's a lot of evidence that the mitzvah Tzedakah is really a mitzvah Ben Adam Mamakom, which takes the form of the Sinale Ani. Right, there are some Gemaras that say either way, whether you give him tzedakah, you don't give him tzedakah, the Ani is going to end up at the same amount. We don't operate that way. We exercise a sense of urgency and responsibility. But there are Makoros that suggest that basically the mitzvah of tzedakah is the mitzvah ben adam lamakom. It's an opportunity, like the Gemara says in Baba Basra. You know, why did the Rebbeinu Shalom create Aniyim? That's what Tarnas Rappus HaRasha asked from Ekiva, right? To give us the opportunity to be Nitzal Medina de Gehenna. It doesn't help the Aniyim. They're going to get what they need anyway. It's for us. In other words, is the Ani a Mechayiv? Is the Kohen a Mechayiv of Bijan Aben? Can you really compare them? And even if they are Mechayivim, is it basically a Chovas HaGavra B'mamon? Or is it a Chovas Mamon Klape B'no? In this sense, there might even be a difference between the chiv of the father and the chiv of the son. We still have to speak more about the chiv of the son and father. But the chiv of the father, in Avnei Nezer-esque terms, is real the chiv nechasim, klape b'no. Is it, for example, two gemaras that speak about shibudim, speak about it in terms of the father. Certainly the gemara mem tesem and aleph, maybe even nun aleph. Is it possible that the shibud is limited to the father? If that were to be true, by the way, it would give us another answer to Tosus's question. When Tosus asks the question, in the case of the, you know, where he has to be, you know, the son is paying for his own pidgin and his son's pidgin, the question is, why can he get away with giving the nechasim b'shibadim for his, right, and then giving the Bnei Chori for his son? Why can't the Lekucho say, you know, you have Bnei Chori, pay up for yourself with the Bnei Chori and leave us alone? Because the son's Chiyuv can't grab the Nechasim Shabbat. So we already explained that according to Tosas, we're talking about a case where he already happened to give the Bnei Chori to his son. That's why they're still bothered. And we explained that according to the Marit, because we wanted the Chiyuv to come from the father. But now there could be another explanation. And that is that the Chasim B'Shubadim, like we explained for the Avnei Nezer, maybe are only applying to the father. They don't apply to the son either. That's what gives them the right to make that decision. I mean, it's not a question that the son doesn't happen to have the Chasim B'Shubadim, which is the way that Rashi and Tosas read the Gemara. There happens to be the child for, you know, there weren't nechasim b'shibadim since his chiyu for his son. Since chiyu for his son. Only since the chiyu for himself. Maybe there is no shibud vis-a-vis himself. Okay. So the point is that tzedakah, nidrei tzedakah, shar mitzvos, become an important part of the general issue when, how do you draw the line? Any chiyuv, mamon and kfiya? Only chiyuv, only where it implements through mamon, whether it's a fundamental chiyuv mamon, whether the makabel is part of the mechayiv, whether the chasim themselves are part of the shibud. These are all different places to draw the line in these issues. Having said that, we can go back to olas ri'ya. Rashi thinks that olas ri'ya is the same as Olas Yolandas. That's Rashi on Nun Aleph Omid Beis. The Rambam obviously thinks not. He was very, very, didn't take much for the Rambam to formulate very clearly in Mechusrei Kapara the Chiyuv Shibudim. And when it came to Olas
Re'ia, it's only Hifrisha Lechayim. So again, now we can understand that even in both cases it's a Chiyuv Karban, and there is Hekdesh, but the question is, what is the nature of that Chiyuv? In the case of Yoledes, so here Mepharshim say different things. Reb Chaim, in the stencils, is bothered by this Rambam too. So he says, in the case of Yoledes, there's a Chiyuv Karban. In the case of Korban Re'ia, it's a Chiyuv Zman. It's a Chiyuv to bring the Korban at a certain time. The fact that it's related to a certain time means that it's B'toras Mitzvahs Chagigas HaRegel, or Re'ia B'Regel. So even though it includes a monetary component to bring the Korban, but it's again, he doesn't explain it this way, but I think that's what he means. The money is used as a Chiyuv in Havasa Korban. But a Yoledes, who already brings the Chatas, she owes, is a Chiyuv now, she has a Chov of a Korban Ola. It doesn't depend anymore on any time, it's an absolute Chiyuv. In one case is Shibudin, in the other case is not. Or what Sasema said, which was, Olas Re'iyah is a Matir. And Olas Re'iyah is related to the Gavra's performance of the mitzvah. Then what does that do with Shibudin? Korban Yoledes, Ola, is a unqualified Chovas HaGavra. Nothing to do with any more mitzvah. There's no mitzvah that it's connected to. Oh. Except there's one huge problem with all of this. And that is, how do you read the Gemara and Dufna Nunala from Inbeis? Like the Sosemis asked. Reb Chaim tries to explain there's a difference between Yoledes and Olas Re'iyah. But the Gemara here seems to be connecting Shibudim in Pidgin HaBen with Olas Re'iyah. So if you all like the Sfasemes that the connection is not in terms of Shibudim at all, it's in terms of Tashlumin, fine. Again, clearly Rashi didn't learn this way, but Rashi doesn't have a problem because Rashi thinks Olas Re'iyah, any Korban, even if it's connected to a mitzvah, a matir, and an iser, still included in the milvah k'suva b'torah. According to the Rambam, just how, if you don't read the Gemara like the Sfasemes, how would you read the Gemara? But as we pointed out, there's another anomaly in the Gemara, and that is that the Gemara isn't talking about Shibudim and Pidgin HaBen either, really. Everybody just thinks it is because of the connection and because of Rashi. The Gemara is really talking about Meis HaBen. So what does Meis HaBen that you bring Akalam and Yom have to do with the fact that the Olas Re'iyah, let's say according to the Rambam, Be'efrisha Mechayim will continue to bring as well? So I think that the answer is as follows. What the Gemara is really trying to say is something else. The Gemara was bothered if the son dies. So where's the pidyon? Let's put it in starker terms. If it's a chiluf kedusha, like some have in the pidyon, you know, ze tacha ze, so it's too late. There's no longer any chiluf. If it's parshas b'midbar, it seems like it's too late. Moreover, I mean, how can there be a kiyum mitzvah lachar moso? So what the Gemara is trying to show, and this is maybe what the Sfasem has had in mind as well, what the Gemara is trying to show is that sometimes, normally we say that a mace is chafshi or potter min mitzvahs, getting back to the Avnei Nezer. Because it's a chovas agavra, even if it's a monetary chovas agavra, but once there's no gavra, there's no kiyum. At best, it could be a cold, impersonal, well, the Nechasim were Meshubadim already, the guy already has a hold on the Gviyah. But there are certain mitzvos where you can continue, there is Mitziruf, even Lachar Misa. The mitzvah continues. Because, it can be various reasons, it can be for various dynamics. The Gemara wasn't saying that all the details of Pidgin HaBen and Olas Re'iyah are the same. The Gemara was saying we compare Pidgin HaBen and Olas Re'iyah. In both cases, there is a Kiyum HaMitzvah that is Mitzuraf even La'achar Misa. How do we know it? In Olas Re'iya, it doesn't take the form of Shiva Dechasim Lakar Misa. That would be too much. But if Ifrisha Mechayim, so then it's not too late. You can still bring, it's not just because Bezin has a hold on the Korban, it's Leketz on his Beach. There would actually be a Kiyum, Olas Re'iya, in the Korban, which was Mufrash, it would be connected to his Re'iya, that it wasn't a Re'iya Reikonis. And since the Torah connects Pidyon HaBen to Olas Re'iya, what it demonstrates is that there can be a kiyum of this mitzvah, mitzura, even la'achar misa. And that's what we see in Pidyon HaBen, because in Pidyon HaBen, as that same Avnei Ezer points out, it's not just that when the son dies that you do the Pidyon la'achar mos, as long as he makes it to la'achar la'minyon. You also make a bracha. There's a debate in the Rishonim where you say Shechayanu. But the bracha, al or pidyon aben, live with dosis aben, that bracha, you say even lachar misa, which means not only is there gviya minachasim, mishubadim, or the chiyuv is collectible, it's as if the gviya already partially took part, there's an actual key in pidyon aben.
Yeah, it's a similar thing with the bris milah. Child dies.
But there's a question whether you do or not. And also, in terms of the, there's a question with making up. Right. Well, there might be of, you know, at least being mitzvah kedusha zisra or an added kedusha. That's a question. But there's a question whether you make the bracha. Here it seems more obvious, and here you might even say the shechayanu, which is really striking, which obviously is not for the simcha of the moment. You know, it's maybe for the simcha of the idea of pidyon aben, of the diffusion. Of Oved Hashem and the families of Klal Yisrael, you know, the Shaykhus to Kohuna Ulevia, that's a celebration, which itself is an interesting idea. So the point is that the Gemara in Aleph Amud Beis has to be read in a totally different way, but in a way which accentuates the role of Gevim and Nechasim B'Pidyon HaBen, which de-emphasizes the zeh tacha zeh, at least of the present, as part of the kiyum, and which shows that there is tziruf lachar misa to the father. That's one way to look at it. Maybe even to the child himself of a pidyon aben. So the fact that in one case it has to be afrasha mechayim olus riya, and in the other case it could even be through the chasim mishabadim. That's true. We're not saying that all the dinim are the same. There are various reasons why pidyon aben and olus riya are not the same. But the common denominator is still an important element, an important feature. Maybe this is one of the things that the Gra wanted to prove from Shibud as well. Not just that, you know, it's one of those rare mitzvahs in which there is Gviyam and Chasim and Shibadim. Actually, the Gra thinks it's Tzedakah also, but he might think for similar reasons that there is Gviyam and Chasim and Shibadim. But maybe what he's trying to say is that the Shibudim here, which are also compared and connected to Olas Re'iya, show that the Chiyuv Pidyon HaBen is a Piron HaChov. It's still Piron HaChov. The Chov existed, and that Piron HaChov is Mitzuraf, even if the child no longer lives. Okay. Yeah.
I'm just not following why the Rav's saying it. It's such a strong formulation. Why can't the Gemara just be saying because there was a Shas HaChiyuv when everybody was alive, then
right.
There's...
Well, it's not true for everything. No, it's not a proof true. What I'm bothered by is...
No, it needs to be.
Right, because but they still express themselves differently. In one case, there will be Gviya, there will be Gviya even if there's no Afrasha Michayim, and in Olas Re'iya, there won't,
Pidyon.
According to the Rambam.
Is my opinion doesn't
need... Afrasha Michayim.
Right.
There is the Shibud. Or the father will have the Chiyu, whatever the case may be.
The father has the Chiyu, I'm saying.
Right.
Without
or,
such a strong formulation.
What I'm saying is, what is the Gemara?
Continues for the mace, or I'm not saying those things aren't possible, but why
am I saying that?
You know,
well, I'm not saying that it has to do with the shiur. What I'm saying is that there can be a kiyum lachar moso, but the kiyum lachar moso.
That only becomes surprising if it's a kiyum for the ben. That's the only thing that starts to raise these hard.
So if you say it's a kiyum for the father, and the father is
father of Shasfiyu, when everything was all the time were. Around.
Right, but it's still a chiyuv of the father. So again, if it's a chiyuv of the father,
Because it's, you know, well, let me say it this way. If the chiyuv of the father, because it's, you know, it's his bikurim, and it's his chiyuv and kiyum, then I think you're certainly right. You don't need to say this so strongly. If it's a chiyuv of the father to ensure the kiyum of his son, then I still think you need to say what we're saying. No, but that's a good har. Okay, so that's the Gemara. Just to sum up this part of it, in general, when do we say kviya? When do we say gviya mechayim, gviya of the fun of? When do we say shibudim in mitzvos? It's a huge machlokas of Rishonim. You have the Maram, you have those who really limit it to Erechin, maybe Nizkei Mamon, or Nizikin, Yoledes, Pidgin Aben. There's a debate about Olas Riyah, there's a huge debate about Tzedakah, there's a huge debate even about Nidre Tzedakah. These debates revolve around several issues, either analyzing and evaluating the cases themselves, how mamoni are they, or the chayiv of mamon, or the chayiv of mamon separate even from the gavra. That's one question. Or where you draw the line in applying the din of shibudin. And pidgin aben in particular is a crucial issue, A, the role of the kohen, B, the question whether mamon is just a method of implementation. The Gra's invoking shibudim becomes important in light of this. The paradigm of pidgin becomes important in light of this. Olas Riyah is an important case. The connection between Olas Riyah and pidgin aben, and especially the misas haben, as opposed to the regular classical shibud, is something which demands some attention and treatment as well. Okay. Let's move on now to sum up a little bit about the father and the son. Our time is running out. Okay, so we've seen a lot already about the father and the son. Let me just add a few other quick points. As we said, the father's chiyuv could be as a kind of an apotropos for the total chiyuv and kiyum of his son. It's a parental obligation to secure his full chiyuv, in which case it's a more than shlichus, in the sense that he's uniquely suited and obligated. In that sense, it's more like an apotropsis. You know, there's when in theory anybody can be the shliach, so the shlichus itself is somewhat diluted. Where you are the one single best or most appropriate or only appropriate shliach, that might be what apotropsis really is. That might, you know, be stronger than a regular shlichus, because it gives you a certain stature. You're not just a filling in the blank. You're the unique shliach to ensure that this is undertaken. But either way, that would basically be an overseeing role for the chiyuv and the kiyum of the child. Or we're talking about, as we say, something quite different, and then we have to discuss, it's the chiyuv of the father and the kiyum of the father because the child is his reishis, or it's the chiyuv of the father klapei the child, in which case maybe the child is the kiyum and the father the chiyuv, or maybe they're shutfim in it, or how much of a gavra halacha is it, or is it mamono? That's the issues that we've been discussing. Okay. A related question is, we know the halacha is that if the father is not possible, then the son is mechuyev b'pidgin aben. Right, it's true for harasa shelo b'kedusha l'idasa b'kedusha. It's true lachar misas ha'av. Question is how to evaluate that. So if you say that either way the mechayev is the son and the father is merely a kind of an apotropos, then it's obvious that the son is mechuyev for himself. On the contrary, then you might even say at a certain point when he becomes a gadol, maybe he should be the ikar chiyuv. Let's say the father is still alive, but the child is a gadol. So the chinuch, Sefer Chinuch has this safek. Sefer Chinuch seems to say, even if the child is a gadol, there's a greater chiyuv on the father. If it's a kind of apotropsis, that doesn't really make so much sense. If it's a chiyuv and kiyum of the father, it makes total sense. If it's a chiyuv of the father to ensure the kiyum of his son, it still makes sense. Okay. The Rashba also, I think in one of his tshuvas, says clearly the chinuch is more the fakfake, although he seems leaning to say that the father is still mechuyev, but the Rashba I think is very clear about it, and the Bali Tosis, I don't know, the Rashba I think is clear to tshuva,
that it's the father's chiyuv, even when the son is a god. But the question will be, if indeed we say that the chiyuv is the father's chiyuv, legamre, or it's a chiyuv klape beno, it's a kind of a shared chiyuv, so when the son has the chiyuv, because there is no father to begin with, or in a case where there is a father, how do we look at it then? Particularly in a case where he had a father, but the father either refuses or is no longer alive. Will we go so far as to say that the son is implementing his father's chiyuv klapav? Or will we say, no, there are two dinim in Pidgin Aben. There's a din that he has to be padui, and then there's also a chiyuv of the father, betoras reishis, two different dinim. Two equal dinim, one more advanced, the other more inferior. In other words, what will be the status of the son? Is he continuing the father, and is it an inferior kind of a... Is he either continuing the father's pidyon, or is he involved in an inferior pidyon, or under those conditions, it's an independent and an equal chi? That's a question. These are questions that we have to ask. Yeah?
Just to introduce a wrinkle, I don't know how this would express itself, but just to introduce a wrinkle into the two-dim approach here, is it possible to say that when it comes to the two-dim, normally we like to think of it as they coexist simultaneously. If the father's not around, so the child can only accomplish one of the two dinim. He obviously can't accomplish the father's, like by Mila, he can't be Mal, you know, he's not accomplishing the father's king Mila, but he is mobile. So is it possible to also say that the two dinim don't necessarily exist simultaneously? In other words, when the father is around, his din exists, but then if the father dies, so then the chiyuv actually morphs into whatever it becomes in the son. So it's not that the two dinim exist.
I think it's possible. Yeah, okay. I think so. I think so. Now again, last time we spoke about the Gemara on Mem Zayinamid Beis, right? Kasina mikoach gavra delo ishtayu yemine. I was trying to suggest there that at least that havam, you don't paskin that way, but that havamina was about, even though the son is now in charge of his own pidyon aben, right? But he's saying is I'm a bakoach of my father. Okay, we don't paskin that way, but it could be don't paskin that way to that extreme. We're not going to say that if the father wouldn't have paid, like he's a goy, or the father is a kohen, so the child has no chiyuv. No, under those conditions, where the father wouldn't pay, so then the child has an independent chiyuv, even because we said, because there's one component left, meaning that he should be padui, or because at that point, since there is no father candidate, so the chiyuv is a chiyuv on the son, completely. But the Havamina, certainly, that we would say that halacha, I think, points in this direction, that maybe even when the child is involved, he's involved as an extension of his father. I'd say the Mishnah in Kiddushin, certainly there are cases where the father is just, you know, an apotropos for his son. Most of the cases that he's kind of an apotropos for his son, to teach him a parnasa, to marry him off to make sure that he gets married. I mean, clearly these aren't the chiyuvim of the father in any racist kind of way at all. Whether they're chiyuvim of the father klape the child is chiyuv for his kiyum. In most cases, it seems not. They just seem to be, you know, responsibilities, apotropos types chiyuvim of the father. But pidyon aben still could be different. Mila might be different as well. Pidyon aben, I think, is more of a candidate to be different than Mila, because Mila, at least, again, the status of Mahol, in the Heftza of the child. Pidyon aben, it's less clear that there is that idea, although I think I mentioned last time, Rabbeinu Bechai in Parshas Kisisa has a very striking line. He talks about the link between Ola Suriya and Pidyon aben in the Psukim. So he says, a precondition for a proper Ola Suriya is that he should be Padui Begufo, that he should have the Kedusha of Pidyon, which means that it's a chalos in the person himself. Which one might have said, it's a mitzvah, it's a chiyuv, but it's not no chalos, Padui. Okay. So basically, this is an important issue, and we already discussed the possibility that even Lachar Misa Sa'av, he continues with that chiyuv. The Rambam according to the Avnei Nezer type approach and the Marit, etc. Yeah. So here we should just add a couple of other things. Number one, what I mentioned, I keep alluding to Rashi, but I didn't get a chance to discuss the Rashi yet. Rashi in Kiddushin has a different take on the Gemara's discussion. So let's get to the Gemara's discussion itself. Firstly, I have the Mishnah, Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabban, as we discussed. Who's Koden? He, Bno or Atzma? So one could have said, one would have said, I think, the Pashtus, and that's good for this argument. Who liftos? Ubno liftos? Tanakam say, who Kodem libno? Who Kodem libno? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bno Kodmo, Shemitzvaso al Aviv, Umitzvas Bno alav. The language of Rabbi Yehuda sounds like that basically, even when he is responsible for his own pigeon abed, it's Betoras, his father's chiyuv. And that basically, therefore, his chiyuv to his son takes precedent over him being poda himself. That doesn't prove that, well, it at minimum proves that the father's chiyuv to him is not just as an apotropos, but that it is an actual chiyuv. It doesn't prove that the child is continuing its father's chiyuv, as opposed to now on a you know, second tier level being engaged in his own. That it doesn't prove. But it does prove that the primary chiyuv is of the father to the son, not of the son to himself. That's why his chiyuv to his son is stronger than his chiyuv to himself. It's in the hierarchy of pigeon abens, it's more chashuv. That's what it sounds like in Rabbi Yehuda. The question is whether that is ruined by Rabbi Yirmiyah. Now, the Pashtus, they argue, if you only have enough money for one pigeon aben, who gets it first? And this is the argument.
Would the factor of doing it bismano have any influence?
Well, again, this idea of bismano is very interesting. I mean, there's a normal din of zrizim makdim le mitzvos, maybe. What we did find this was the Marit al-Gazi, well, not Marit al-Gazi, Marit al-Gazi is quoting the Orchis Chaim, the Kolbo, the Chachmei Provence, who rewrite this Bahag. I mean, the Bahag says that if you are poded Bino, then you add a Tosefes Chomesh to the five Sloim. And the Rabban said, what are you talking about? The Torah says five Sloim, and it's talking to the father. And it's not Hekdesh either. What's this all about? So the Chachmei Provence had a different version of it. Their version was, if you don't do it Bismano, then you add the Tosefes. So then it's apparently more than Zerizim Magdim L'mitzvahs. And then it takes on a new significance. But in the Gemara doesn't make the distinction. But it's in light of that, I think it's interesting. So here, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, if you have five, this is on Nuno Mibes, talking about who liftos, if no liftos, who kodim libno, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi no kodim, Moshe mitzvah, so alavim, mitzvah, no alav. Rabbi Yirmiyah, hakol modim, heched alek alechamesh slaim, who kodim libno. My time in the mitzvah, the day odiv. Ki pligi heched ikah chamesh, mishubados, v'chamesh b'nei chorin. And that depends, Milvak, Suva, Betorah, and so on. So number one, this means is, that's Rabbi Yirmiyah. If we didn't have Rabbi Yirmiyah, just in the Mishnah itself, we could say, wow, it's really this issue. For Rabbi Yirmiyah, it sounds like, if you have to choose one or the other, Bno, I mean, Atzmo, Kodem, Lebno. How could that be if it's a lesser Chiyu? Except that it's still not impossible. It could be that my lesser chiyuv, that I should be pandui, is my lesser pigeon aben, but which makes me personally pandui, is still more important than my chiyuv klape bini. Especially if we interpret it in Avnei Nezer type terms. It's not a chiyuv of rachis, it's a chiyuv of ensuring, it's my obligation to ensure his chiyuv. Because it's still his chiyuv, and this is my chiyuv. Especially if you say like Rabbeinu Bechaye, that there's a concept of being padu. I might even say, you know, how can a, you know, before you're going to be padu to somebody else, you have to be a padu yourself. And if it's not ma'akev, but at least it's unseemly, right? Or it's the personal prerogative that I have, that my kiyumim should take precedence to my son's kiyuvim, even if the chiyuv is greater. At least if we make this chiyuv kiyum split, it becomes complicated and interesting.
It fits in very nicely with the Shachar, sorry, with my Kiddushin and how we rule out women.
Yeah. We rule, good, exactly why. Go ahead.
Okay.
How do we rule out women?
It's just we use a number of tautological proofs that relate to somebody who's a fair.
She's not obligated to be poda her son because no one is obligated to be poda her. So it sounds like the primary category is the obligation of someone else to be poda you. But that's kind of a double-edged sword. What does that mean? Is it that person's obligation or is it my obligation? But according to this in-between perspective, which I think is the right one, which is it's the father's chiyuv to ensure the kiyum of the child, it's both. Which I think is what you're saying, 100%. Now Rashi in Kiddushin also works out very well with this addition. Rashi explains here in Kiddushin, what's this thing with the Meshubadim? Again, Bali Tosis are all upset about it. Maybe it depends who actually went first. And as we discussed already, the Marit. Right, the Marit will explain, doesn't matter who goes first. The point is it's the father is being put to his child, and you are being put to your child. That's the way it's supposed to be. And the Kuchos can object to that because that's the proper way of pigeon a ben. Whereas if it was an apotropos kind of an issue, you know, and then okay, if you know, my finances have to back up this particular apotropos too. Okay, but if he's capable and there's bnei chorin, let him do himself. But Rashi has a different take on this, which also works very nicely with this. Rashi explains. It would help if I was on the right dot. So I do give a little bit of days. Here, on Chavtes on the base. The Ozel coin, but. Kiksuv Bishtar, Pidin Atzmo Hoya Machuyev Kodem, Shashibed Karkaosav, Biyitrofes Alekuchos, Hilkach, Bechamesh Bnei Chari. The Ika Parik Libre, the Einza Ona'a. Rashi is exactly asking this question. Let the Lekucho say, "Yeah, you can't take the Bnei Chari, you can't take the Shibudim. Do the pigeon with the Bnei Chari. Sheharei Mitzvahs Bno Olav Yoser Mi Mitzvaso." Rashi says, "No, they can't have that objection." Now again, the Marit says they can't have that objection because we want the father to do the pidyon. Rashi is saying the parallel opposite. Rashi is saying they can't have that objection because the chiyuv to be poda b'no is prior to the chiyuv to be poda atzmo. It's just that if there's only going to be one, then pidyon atzmo is first. Maybe for a bit of b'chaye, or maybe, as we explained, you know, because his kiyum he can say it. I don't care. But my personal kiyum means more to me than my chiyuv a kiyum. But as a chiyuv, objectively, the chiyuv libno takes priority over chiyuv atzmo. So what are the lekuchos going to say? You're cheating us by choosing this order? I'm not choosing this order. The Torah chose this order, and that's exactly what Tosis doesn't like. Tosis there quotes the Rashi. And he says he doesn't understand what Rashi's talking about and where it comes from. I'm not going to go to the whole. Rashi says, Therefore, he has a whole different pshat here. The yesh nechasim b'shibadim yitzchak shasana potik lekohen. Tosis has a whole pshat to get out of this problem. Why? Because according to Tosis, the chiyuv, if there's only one pidyon to take place, it's the son for himself. So that means that his chiyuv is greater. So what's Rashi talking about? But Rashi will say no. There are two different dinim here. One is whether mi she'eno padui chayev liftos acher, or you know, ha'im, you know, miktsas, or mitzvah garua shalatzmo adif mi mitzvah, you know, adifa shel chaveiro. It's that kind of an issue. That's the issue. But in terms of the truth is, in terms of the language of Rabbi Yehuda, Rashi's much better. Because Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah does seem to say that the chiyuv ha'aval b'no is the primary category. Okay. So this issue will affect many other things as well. To mention a few just very quickly, in addition to the question of Mishabadim that we discussed, the father's continuing chiyuv and the marit, and the question of what happens after the child is a gadol, the chinuch and tshuvas harajba. I think also relate to the question that we mentioned, the Minchas Chinuch's question. What if there is, and I wanted to connect to the, not the actual reasoning by, but the actual debate, the content of the debate, of the Shach and the Taz. Is there a chiyuv haben on la'atzmo prior to his bar mitzvah? Can there be a limbo period? The father dies, as there's no nechasim mishabadim, right? And the child's not a god. Is there even a chiyuv pinyan haben? So if the father's chiyuv was klape b'no, this is a tricky kind of a question. So, if the, well, put it this way. If it's the father's chiyuv to begin completely, then you might say, well, the child's chiyuv, which is a second, whether it morphs into or is part of whatever it is, but that only begins when he's a gadol, when he's a bar mitzvah. So you have the father's chiyuv, the son's chiyuv, never the twain shall meet. They have nothing to do with each other. Then you have a limbo period in between. Right? And, for example, if you were to pay the son in between, the child from his own property, the Minchas Chinuch's question, maybe it wouldn't work. Not sure. Moreover, the question that the Taz and the Shach debate, what about the grandfather? What about the Beis Din? Can they take over here? So the Taz says, not until he's a gadol. But the Taz says for other reasons. Because he's worried about, you know, Nichalei Le'inish, Eliyavid Mitzvah B'mamono, no, and it's not a schuz gemura. But it could be that there's a whole other different issue, and that is, there's just no chiyuv until the child's a gadol. But if it's all about the father's an apotropos for the son's chiyuv, so then of course there's a, there, the son you know, has a chiyuv in between, and maybe even he could pay from his own property. He may not be mechuyev to, because it's not a bar mitzvah, but the chiyuv is there, and on the contrary, because it's a chiyuv klapav, an apotropos kind of chiyuv, it doesn't just exist when he's bar mitzvah. Even if you take this, what I'm calling the Avnei Nezer kind of, or maybe I'm developing a bit more, the chiyuv kiyum, you know, chiyuv klapav kind of approach, it's an interesting thing, because it's the father's chiyuv for the child's kiyum, but the child's kiyum implies no chiyuv at all, just a kiyum, so maybe the Minchas Chinuch could work, meaning if he pays, the kiyum will be there for his money as well. But is there some sort of a chiyuv at that point? Could you talk about Beis Din or the grandfather? It's hard to know. But the point is,
Shinan Tamavanecha also doesn't really last.
Well, Shinan Tamavanecha is a tricky kind of thing. I mean, the Rambam has, you know, there are indications in the Rambam that even before the child is a bar mitzvah, that there's a chiyuv Shinan Tamavanecha, which is not just chinuch, but that is Daraisa. I think it's a simple reading of the Psukim and it's simple reading of the Rambam. But actually, the Nosakeim and the Nuchas Talmud Torah are very bothered by this and think that, oh, it's only Shem Chinuch, and they try to link it to the Gemara, you know, in Sukkah, by, you know, Katan Eidel and Anea Salula. Personally, I think the Talmud Torah may be different because it isn't just a mitzvah, it's also the foundation of his becoming a Gadol, that training in Chinuch. But that's a Talmud Torah discussion. But I think in Pidgin Abed it would be an interesting issue. Now, in light of this, I think we could also ask several questions. I mentioned the question, are the shibudim for the child's chiyuv on himself? I think that's an interesting question. It's not so obvious. Most people probably assume yes, but not so sure. The Rishonim here in the sugya certainly assume yes, but maybe not. Maybe it's a different kind of a chiyuv. The Ramah's issue of shliach, I think, is an interesting question. According to the Ramah, that there's no shliachos b'pidyon haben, is that only in the father's chiyuv, or even in the son klape himself's chiyuv? Can the son make a shliach for his own pidyon? And on the contrary, maybe the Ramah only makes sense for the father, maybe only makes sense for the son, maybe makes sense for both. It's hard to know. Nusach HaBracha, I think, is also an interesting question. The Rambam Shita, the Gemara Pesachim says, you make a bracha al pidgin a bit. And the Rambam says, however, when the father does it himself, he says, lit. When the son does it himself, he says, lit. And this is the Rambam Lishitaso. That's the Rambam in Hilchos of Brachos, Perkei Av. And in general, there are many Rishonim in Poskim who disagree and say, you know, if you make an al because it's nitan lad liyasos and neacherim, even if you do it yourself, you don't say lit. But I wonder whether or not, even within the worldview of the Rambam, whether there isn't some room to discuss this question from a father-son point of view. In other words, maybe the son is continuing for the father. So the father says al, then the son doesn't say al.
Wow. Isn't Rambam talk by Mila that it's Lamul, the father and his mom?
Yeah. I mean, why different here than Pidgin and Ben? Yeah, that also may show a different perspective, father and son. That's a good ha'ara as well. I mean, who's the real Chiyuvan, the difference between Mila, or who's the real Maisa, Mila and Pidgin and Ben? That's something to be looked at as well. So I think that these are all issues. Again, the Rajba, the Radvaz have strong formulations of it's being a chiv of the father. The Rivash, Bali Tosis and Kedushin, strong that it's a chiv of the son. And as we point out, there are some nuances, in between. Okay. I should just mention something, Derech Agav, regarding the Gemara about if there's only Chamesh Soim, that who Kodem Libno. So there's a famous question the Achronim ask here. Why isn't this a problem of Hamavazvez, Alivazvez Yoser, Meichomesh? That?
This seems to be an exception to the rule.
Yeah, this seems to be an exception to the rule. So that's the question. Why is this an exception to the rule? So number one, is it really an exception to the rule? The truth is, the Gemara here says that he has a hay slime. It doesn't mean that it's all he has in the world. Maybe on the contrary, this is including the rule. Meaning, if the hay slime that he has is the limit of his mevazves, all yevazves, yosim chomesh bedamav, so what do you do with it? That's number one. Although it doesn't say that in the Gemara, but that's one possible answer. Moreover, what you could say, and what some of the Achronim say, and I think it has roots in Rishonim, is when we say Vaz is Yosim Bichomesh, what really does it mean? Does it mean you never pay more than a fifth of your net worth? Or does it mean you never pay more than a fifth beyond the objective value of the mitzvah? Right? In which case, maybe it only applies when the prices are out of sync. In other words, you shouldn't pay more than a fifth of what you should be paying, or you don't pay more than a fifth of what you're worth. Not so clear. So that's what some poskim say. They say, listen, you're talking about a lulav, you're talking about Neros Chanukah. Well, Neros Chanukah is a problem anyway. That's right. If you do, you know, anything beyond Neros Shebeso, you're doing more than Chomesh. But anyways, the point is, when you're dealing with, you know, particular mitzvah, somebody might say, well, there's a certain price, and they hiked it up this year. That's not what it costs them. But you're talking about Chamesh Slayim, the pigeon of men, that's the price. So that's the way some Achronim answer. I think that there's a more basic answer, and that is, whether that's true or not, the point is you never say Hamavazvez, Al Yavazvez. You're not going to say that in a in the context of a chov, right? You say that in the context of a mitzvah. Here the mitzvah is Piron Achov. And one of the things we've been discussing is how much mitzvah Bederech Piron Achov, how much Piron Achov for which you're Mekayim the mitzvah. That's really what we've been partially discussing. But the point is that not only is Pidgin HaBen different because the Torah itself says Chayei Shlamim, end of story, but the point is, it's a Chiyuv Mamon, or it's a Chiyuv Pidgin, or it's a Chiyuv Chov, the Shalim Priyas Chov. And therefore, it doesn't come into the normal rubric that we associate with regular mitzvahs. At least that's something that needs to be looked at. Okay, now let's move on to the Lachar Lamed Yom issue. Again, I'm going to finish up soon because I know it's after Chatzos and people want to do what they're supposed to do. So let me just speak about two other issues very quickly. One is Lachar Lamed. By the way, what Lachar Lamed is, the debate among the poskim, is it, 31st day? Or can it even be at some point after 29 days and, I forget the number, X amount of chalakim? That's a debate in the poskim between the Shach and the Imag and Avram and others. Okay. The question of Lachar Lamed Yom is a crucial question. We already touched on it. The Rit al-Ghazi's pshat in the Rambam, again, that same Rambam was said that even if the father dies within 30 days, that nonetheless there will be a Gviyam and Chasim B'Shubadim. So the Rit al-Ghazi's pshat was, the Rambam paskens like Rav, that if you're poda, toch lamid yom, v'nis achlu hamos, that the pidyon is chal on the 30th day, or on the 31st day. So the Rambam L'Shitaso thinks that really the Zechi of Pidgin HaBen within 30 days. I mentioned it before. And others disagree and think that 30 days is the Zman Achiyuv. Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit more. The truth is, it very much depends. I mean, the Rit al-Ghazi was being toled on the Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel here on Nun Omid Beis. The Nun Omid Beis or Mem Tes Omid Beis? A Mem Tes Omid Beis. Right, a Podas Bno is the again, the Mishnah says Beis Av B'toch Lamed B'cheskes Shelo Nifta Ad Shiyavi Raya Lachar Lamed Yom B'cheskes Shenifta Ad Shiyomer Shelo Nifta. The Gemara says Itmar Podas Bno B'toch Lamed Yom Rav Amar Bno Padui Shmuel Amar Ein Bno Padui. Kulam Ami'achshav Ein Bno Padui Lachar Lamed V'isnayulamos Vaday Bno Padui. Everybody agrees in 2K, two extremes. If he wants to be Podal Amafreya within 30 days, it doesn't work. If he wants to be Poda and the money is still extant on the 30th day, everybody will agree it will work. Ki pligi lachar lamed yom b'nisach lo amos. What if he wants to be chal lachar lamed yom, but the money's already gone? So Rav Amar b'no Podo imidid have a kiddusha isha, chasam lav afagav nisach lo amos, have a kiddusha, like a delayed kiddusha which works, even if the money's no longer there. And Shmuel Amalah Chasam Biyad Lekad Shem Yachshav. Kedusha is different because if he wants, he could be Makadish earlier. Hacha Im Biyad Liftos Shem Yachshav. Then the Gemara says Avagav the Kamelon Kol Hecha the Pligi Rav Shmuel Luchas Akarab Bisurei Kishmu Bedini Hachi Luchas Akavasei De Shmuel. Then the Gemara does back and forth more rayas, and they conclude Luchas Akavasei De Shmuel. That links up with the more of Liftos Ubno, which is the Gemara that we just read, which already gets us down to Mem Tes Amud Beis. Okay, to the next mission. So what's going on here? What is the fact that, what is the nature of this debate between Rav and Shmuel? So obviously, Marit al-Ghazi understands it to be a fundamental debate about whether or not, in principle, there can be Pidyon Toch Lamed Yom, or it's just a problem of Chashash Nefel, or not. But the truth is that one doesn't have to read it that way. That is also, I should say, the way that the Baalei Tosfos understood it. Tosfos and Bava Kamma, again, going back to the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Dafid Aleph and Beis, speaks about a treifa. Gemara says that a treifa, toch lamed yom, does not have a pidyon HaBen. That's the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Dafid Aleph and Beis. So Rashi says, what does treifa mean? It means a person, a child who dies within 30 days. After all, one might have thought, said Rashi, that only a nefel, where the death is natural, since it's a nefel, there's no pigeon on that. Kamashmulan, even a ne'erag, not just a nefer. That is Rashi's explanation. It's very difficult, Rashi, because the Gemara says trefa, and trefa doesn't usually mean ne'erag. Trefa usually means a child that has discovered to have an illness, right, within 30 days, that he will not last, he won't live a normal life, he's doomed, but he's not yet deceased. The Tosfos has two questions against Rashi. Number one, that's not normally what a trefa means. Number two, he says, but we paskin like Shmuel in this Gemara. And Shmuel says, Ein b'no padui b'nisachlo amos, it's not like Kedushin, because Kedushin is isnayu b'toch me'achshav, and this is not isnayu me'achshav. If that's the case, according to Rashi, why should that be true? According to Rashi, gloi milsil amafreya, that the nefel, that it wasn't a nefel, it wasn't a nerag, so it should be chal immediately. The only reason it's not chal, not because it's a din of pigeon a bed requires 30 days, but because the quality of child, it can't be a nefel. You have to last more than the 30 days. That's Tosa's question. Therefore, Tosa says, that's not pshat in the Gemara. The pshat in the Gemara is, trefa means trefa, and the chiddush of the Gemara is, one would have thought if the child dies within 30 days, but if the child lasts, even though it's doomed, it's ill, and we know that within 30 days there should be a pigeon on bed, kamash malan, even if the child's going to die after 30 days, if it's no da, betoch shoshim yom, there's no pigeon on bed. But if it's nerag, that's not a chiddush, that's obvious. There's no difference between nefel and nerag. In both cases, they don't make it to the 30 days, which is the zman achi. On the other hand, this is the other Gemara in Menachos, the Gemara in Lamed Vav. The Gemara there says, if you have a child with two heads, so A, what do you do about his tefillin? That's what it's doing there. So the Stam Gemara is in Menachos. It's important, so yeah. Then the Gemara says, then what about Pidgin Aben? So the Gemara says, maybe you should be Chayev 10 Sloim for Pidgin Aben, because it goes by the head, by per head. And as some of the Rishonim there explain, if you have Ta'omim, so it's the Yafshel Tzamtzim, so they're not both Chayev and Pidgin Aben. But Lu Yitzuya, you could be the Tzamtzim. That's the way they read the Gemara. So it's a double Chayev Pidgin Aben. You should pay 10 Sloim. The Gemara seems to say you pay 10 Sloim. So the Gemara says, well, maybe it's like a Trefa. And Trefa is Potor, the Pidgin Aben. Right? So the Gemara says, well, it's Xeris HaKosuv. It's Xeris HaKosuv that it goes by the head. Very strange Gemara. So on the one hand, that Gemara is actually very, very difficult, according to Tosa. Tosa says that the pshat in the Gemara is a child with two heads is a trefa. But the Gemara nonetheless is saying that this particular trefa is chayiv asara sloim for pidgin aben. Based on Xeris HaKosuv, Tosa doesn't explain why. The Rambam omits this halacha. Rambam never brings this halacha about a child with two heads having a chiyuv of pidgin aben. The Rambam holds like the Bali Tosis that a child is a trefa past 30 days, within 30 days, so he's going to die after 30 days, is potur mi pidgin aben. But the point is that Rashi will say, the Gemara there, well, Rashi does say, if the child is ne'erag betoch lamed yom, that's how Rashi interprets the Gemara there too. The problem according to Rashi is, why is the Gemara asking the question? The Gemara says, if a child has two heads, you pay 10 slime. The Gemara says, I believe it's a trefa, but we see trefa doesn't. So Rashi says, trefa there means nerag. Rashi, l'shitasa.
Does the Gemara there speak of shnei roshim, or does it speak of du parsim?
No, shnei roshim.
Shnei
roshim. I mean, I guess
it's two. Would be a Siamese.
So. Yeah, right. Du partsuf. Yeah, no. And so the Gemara says it goes by the Gulgolas, by the, you know, that it's per head. Pidgin Aben is per head. What? So this is the Machlokas in Rashi tells us. So we can see that there are difficulties in both. As according to Rashi, we can understand the Maskana. We just don't understand exactly why the Gemara equated them to begin with. We also have the trouble, the difficulty that Trefa doesn't usually mean Neharag. According to Bali Tosis, Trefa means Trefa. There's a Chiddush in Tosis too, which is interesting, and Rashi would disagree with. And that is that Tosis thinks that a Trefa, betoch lamed, that lives after lamed, is not subject to pidyon. There's a certain irony in Tosas, just one more second, that is that Tosas starts off by saying that Lamed Yom is a shiur in the chiyuv. But in the end, Tosas has to admit that the quality of the child is important. Tosas accuses Rashi of saying, the zman is nothing. The important thing is the quality of the child. Nefel. So Rashi, so Tosas says, or if that's true, according to Rashi, then if kol lo chadashav, then A, if he dies, it shouldn't matter. If he's narrowed, why do we care? The quality of the child. Moreover, if he's alive, then let the pigeon work even l'mafreya. And we not only say that the pigeon can't work l'mafreya, we say that even if the sakhlo amos, we paskin like Shmuel, that it doesn't work. But the irony is that according to Tosas, in the end, it's not only about timing either. According to Tosas, there are two dinim. Timing, meaning before 30 days is no chiyuv pidyon aben. In addition to that, there's also halacha, the halacha that he accused Rashi of saying only, and that is quality of the child. But for Tosas, that doesn't mean nefel, it means any trefel. So any child who dies within 30 days is no pidyon aben because there was no zman achiyuv. And any child within 30 days who doesn't have a future because of his quality, the quality also is mafkiya, pidyon aben. They end up being two dinim according to Tosas. Now what about according to Rashi? So let me say it this way. Tosas, by asking the question, if Tosas asked the question in the Gemara, well, why don't you work l'mafreya? Right? As long as the child survives? That might be a very strong question. But Tosas doesn't ask that question exactly. Tosas says, well, we paskin like Shmuel. Oh. So the question is as follows. Number one, is the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, like the Reed Al-Ghazi understood in the Rambam, and like Tosas understood when he was attacking Rashi, he gave the money, and it was Nisachlu Amos, but he wants to be poda on Yom La. Is that really this machlokas? Or, if we pass it like Shmuel, at least according to Shmuel, is it obvious that Lamed Yom is a Zman Achiyuv and it's not just a Din and Nefel? And in the other direction, it sounds like, according to Rav, Rashi could be okay. I mean, according to Rav, who says that the pidyon can take place even if it's Sachlo Amos, the money's not around on day 30, so then, there's no objection against Rashi. It's because 30 days is just a din in Nefel, not a din in the chi of pidyon. Is that true? The truth is, let's go back to the example of Kiddushin. Gemara says about Kiddushin that it works even if the Sachlo Amos. Why? So there can be at least two explanations. So the Ran in Kiddushin explains that even though the Maisa is done Toch Lamed Yom, the chalos is on lamed yom lamed. There's no problem, as I mentioned last time, of kolsa kinyano, because the fact is that you'd have to pay back the money. So there's enough of a kolsa kinyano issue, problem, is resolved sufficiently that you can have a maisa shelo bizman chalos. Even though the bizman chalos, the conditions for the maisa are no longer there. Because according to the Ran, Kiddushin Acher Lamed is a delayed, the Maisa Kiddushin is day 1, the Chalos is day 30. The Rashba in Kiddushin, on the other hand, some of the other Rishonim, say that's not what's going on. What's going on in Kiddushin is not that you're Mekadesh, the Maisa on day 1, and Tzchal on day 30. Everything's on day 30. Because the real Kiddushin is with the Hana, and the Gemara says, you don't have to be Sach Lamos, because he would have to pay back. If the Kiddushin wasn't going to go through, if there was a Chazara, she'd have to give back the money. So by not having to give back the money, that's what solves the problem. So the way the Ran understands it, that's enough of a tziruf between the Maisa on day 1 and the Chalos on day 30. But the way the Rashba and other Rishonim understand it is, no. The real Kiddushin is with the Hana, that she doesn't have to give back the money. That's the case of Kiddushin. The Maisa and the Chalos are both on day 30. Either way, according to the Gemara here, one could have said, but what Shmuel is saying is, Hasam biyada lekad shemiachshav. In the case of Kiddushin, you can split, let's say, even according to the Ran, you can split the Maisa and the Chalos. Because in theory, you could do the Maisa and the Chalos immediately. Therefore, you can do the Maisa immediately and have a delayed Chalos. There's nothing contradictory about that. You can split them up. As long as you could theoretically do both, it's Zman Chalos now, you just choose to delay. So you can have a Maisa Bizman, potential Chalos, as long as it's not a real Chalos. But, it seems this is what it's trying to say, in Pidgin, a ban, you couldn't do now if you wanted, and therefore, not only is it a Chalos problem, it's a Maisa problem too. That's the way you'd read it according to the Ran. According to the Rajba, you'd read the Gemara a little differently. According to the Rajba, the Gemara would say, listen, the Maisa and the Chalos are together in Kedushin. And the fact that you did the, you know, the physical preparations for that earlier, it doesn't bother us because you could have done the Maisa and the Chalos then too. But you can't even set up a delayed Maisa and Chalos and Pidgin Aben if the setting up takes place, Bizman, that you're Mufka ben HaMitzvah. My point is as follows. If you read the Gemara according to the Ran in Kiddushin, the paradigm of Kiddushin, so basically the discussion isn't so much whether the between Rav and Shmuel isn't whether a chalos could take place earlier. In theory, let's say to use concretely, if we had a crystal ball and we could tell that it's not a neifa, if it was called lo chadasha, that's not the issue. The issue really is whether or not there's a maisa pigeon toklamid, even though there's no chalos pigeon toklamid. Where it's according to the Rajba, even in Kiddushin, that's not what happens. The question is, can you even have a Maisa b'chalos, la'achar lamid, that is physically set in motion in this earlier period? So it comes out that there are different perspectives here, but it's quite possible that the discussion between let me explain now what I mean. Number one, Tosfos asked against Rashi, we pass him like Shmuel. So the point is, sure we pass him like, number one, not everybody passes like Shmuel. The Gemara seems to pass like Shmuel, but the Rambam passes like Rav, as the Reed Al-Ghazi pointed out. Number two, just because you pass him like Rav, doesn't mean that Rashi is okay. The Rambam passes like Rav, and he still passes like Tosfos. Why? Because even if you pass me like Rav, I might say, all that means is, what? That the Maisa pigeon can take place in the beginning, even if the Chalos is later. But no one ever said that the Chalos can take place earlier. But what they're suggesting that the Rashi believes is that if Kol Lo Chadasha, you could have the Chalos earlier too. It's only if you explain, let's say, like the Rajba, that the issue in the Gemara isn't about the Maisa, it's about the Chalos itself possibly being earlier, that Rav's a proof for Rashi. And it's also in the other direction, because Rashi never said exactly what Tosfos suggested he said. But even though Rashi here in Bechoros, by the way, it's not just Rashi in, it's Rashi in Nachos, Rashi in Kiddushin, I'm sorry, Baba Kama, and it's also Rashi B'choros. Rashi B'choros, that's also where it speaks about Lam Yom, speaks about Safek Neifa. But the way Rashi read the Gemara was as follows. The Gemara's Havamina and Baba Kama was the Mechalik between Neifel and Nerek. But Kamash Malon, that it's a Din and Zman too. You really need the Lam Yom. Because at the end of the day, a Nerek who's not a Neifel, perfectly healthy child, but Nebuchadnezzar is tragically killed. Rashi agrees there's no pigeon on that. Moreover, Rashi never said that if the Goy Bilson of Afraid, the child is healthy and he lasts beyond the 30 days, and he's not a Nera, he's not even a Trefa. If he was a Trefa, it wouldn't matter to Rashi anyway. Rashi never said that Goy Bilson of Afraid, what the Rit Al-Ghazi and Tosfos say in his name, which is Goy Bilson of Afraid, that the pigeon should be chal, because there's really no impediment. At minimum, you could say for Rashi, that as long as there's a safek nefel, there's vadai, no pigeon, no chalos pigeon, and maybe not even a maisa pigeon, hence Shmuel. As Tosfos says, according to Shmuel, Rashi's in trouble. It's fascinating. Tosafot didn't say, forget about Shmuel, even according to Rav. Even Rav agreed that you can't have a pigeon l'mafreya. That the Gemara says, kula l'mamod. So why does Tosafot make it seem that if you pass like Rav, it wouldn't be so bad for Rashi? So we explained a second ago, because according to Rav, it might just be a din in Maisa pigeon, not in Chalos pigeon at all. But if Tosafot really felt that Rashi believed that he goy milsul l'mafreya, that if kol lo chadasha of an ainbo nefel, that pigeon aben could be from day one, and that's why they're bothered by Shmuel Dafka, then they shouldn't have stopped with Rav. They should have asked about Lamafreya. And if they don't, then it's because as long as there's a suffix sequentially going forward, as long as there's a suffix nefel, according to Rashi, there's vadai no pigeon aben. So maybe you could explain Rav. Although you don't need to explain Rav with Rav. You could explain Rav even according to Balitosis. You could say the Zman of Lamed Yom has nothing to do with Nefel, and nonetheless, it's still a Zman for the Chalos, not for the Mice. Or, if you hold like the Rajba, but you could do the physical setup for a pigeon aben bahanos ein tzorech lachzor samilva later on. It's not difficult to explain shitas shitas rav at all. But by the same token, it's not a problem to say, well, just as there could be no chalos l'mafreya, no one ever said differently, not rav and shmuel, because safek Nefel is vadai ein achayev until barur. The zman shemivurar that he's not nefel is the zman achiyuv. It's just not shloshim yom per se. That's all Rashi was saying. Therefore, there might be enough gemina for a nerag. But once you say that, then Rashi is fine even for Shmuel. So what we're saying is, as long as it's not mevurar, that there's no suffek nefel, maybe there's no maisa either. Why can't Rashi paskin like Shmuel? Okay. So this is, I think, these are very important issues, and I think that there's a dual machlokes, I say, between Rashi and Tosis about the questions. But it ends up that Tosis, ironically, ends up saying there are two dinim, a din of the quality as well as in the zman, whereas according to Rashi, maybe all there is a din in Zman, and even if there is a din in Nefel, it's a din in Birur Sheino Nefel, it's not a din in Nefel Lemafre. Okay. Having said that, I just want to review, just to mention again, that once you take the view that Lamed Yom is a Tnai, but it isn't Mufka Legamri from Pidgin Aben, and therefore maybe the Maisa would be Chal, so the Rav was Psak like Rav, or at least you could do the setup earlier. Once you say things like that, so then the question becomes, how early? And that relates to what we discussed, the nusach in the tekes. Do we speak about the child having chiyu, pigeon aben, and kedusha already b'neimo? It could be, yes, kedusha, but there's no pigeon. But these might be two different things. Is there even kedusha? The Rosh thought it wasn't even kedusha. In theory, if there is kedusha, you could say there's a chiyu pigeon then, but you can't implement it. No chalos, but maybe some sort of a chiyu. That's number one. And that has impact on how do we define Leda and Peter Rechem, as we discuss the difference between Bechor L'Nachla and Bechor L'Yerusha, Hotzal Sarosh, and things of that sort, whether that's a Leda defined by B'mei Imo, or a Leda defined only by Yitzia Chutzlav. Okay. Let's speak about one other broad issue, and then we'll stop. Sorry for the Mishnah here says that Chamesh Shloim Shalben B'mana Tzuri, and then it has Shloshim Shal Eved, Chamishim Shal Ona Shal Mufata, Meh Shal Moti Shemra, Kulim B'Shekel HaKodesh B'mana Tzuri, V'Kulim Niftim B'Kesel B'Shava Kesel Chutz Mishkal. So number one, it's interesting in the Mishnah, and some of the Achronim note this, that Pidgin Aben is separated from the others. The others are lumped together. It sounds like Pidgin Aben being b'shekel hakodesh is a separate halacha, a special halacha. Moreover, the Gemara, Mishnah says that b'shava kesef works. The Gemara has a limud to be mar b'shava kesef. The Rishonim in the beginning of Kedushin in Bava Kama, Yashiv l'rabba b'shava kesef, Ha'isha nikneis b'kesef u'b'shava kesef, discuss whether or not shava kesef is kesef based on the svara, or you need exeris hakasef. The Ran, the Rajba, assume that for Kiddushin and things like that, Zikin, Kiddushin, you don't need Exeris HaKasuv. Misvara. So why do you need Exeris HaKasuv specifically in Pidgin HaBen? So this again points to the question, goes back to the question we've been discussing, is it Piron HaKov and Mamon HaKoin, or is it a formal act of Hafrasha in Pidgin, in which case maybe you require dafka coinage. Right. Just like, you know, chamesh velo chatzi chamesh and davar shegufo mamon, so too you require the actual coin. And we're usually makbid to use the coins. I think that there's an element of that. Even though we say shava kesef ki kesef, it's shava kesef not as shovi, but as a substitute for kesef. It's really a din in pidyon and kesef. Now, if you take the more formal views, again, the hafrasha, and the pidyon parts, that makes more sense. But even if you take, again, like the Gra is simply saying that the formality here takes the form of chov bialma piro. He wasn't suggesting that it isn't, that it's a real kinyan, or that it is a chov. He's saying we treat it that way. So that's point number one. The second element, though, I'm not going to go into the rest of the question of the, how you define the shkolim, which is a big issue of lachla maisa, is the last mission of nun aleph amud aleph. These halachos, gufa mamon, which we already touched on, and then kasev lekoin shu chayiv liten chamisha sloim chayiv liten lo ubnoi nepadui lefika chamratz lekoin liten lo b'matana rashoi. Then finally, the halacha mafresh pidyon haben pidyon benov avad chayiv bachar yusa shenemar yelacha upado tifte. Now the last halacha, which is very important, achrayas, that we already touched on, we talked about shibudim. How can that fit in if it's hafrasha and it's nesina, not kabbalah? And how does it connect to petar chamor? That's the last gemara as well, and that's where the gemara links it with olas riyah. That's the gemara that takes us up to the mission of bechor lenachla, just so we can connect everything. So that we discussed. But the first part of the mishnah, or the middle part of the mishnah in particular. No shtaros, the Gemara says, because gufa mamon. We need gufa mamon. Debate whether you need davar metalta with gufa mamon. We still need gufa mamon. And if kosav lekoin shu chayiv liten chamesh slaim, chayiv liten ubeno eno padui. What is that halacha based on? So the Gemara says here, nun aleph amud beis, Omar Ula, three lines down, nun aleph amud beis, Dvar Torah b'no padui. And here there are all sorts of different girsas. Dvar Torah b'no padui, or Dvar Torah b'no padui likashayite. My taima, ain't b'no padui. What's the reason for the drabanan? What is the drabanan? The drabanan is that it doesn't work, or the drabanan is that it doesn't work even likashayite, even once he gives the money. Gzeira shema yom repodim bishtar. Tani tana kamid rav nachman, b'no padui likashayite. Amar Rav Nachman Zudir Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda Stimta Amar Lo Zudir Rav Elazar Rav Shimon Av Chachamim Omrim Ein B'no Padoi V'Hilchasa Ein B'no Padoi. Yeah. So this halacha is very unclear. The Bali Tosfos discuss it, and then Shulchan Aruch they discuss it. Min HaTorah, if you write a IOU to a Kohen for the Heisloim, does it work or not? Most are shown to take the position, reading the Gemara, that Min HaTorah doesn't work. The Din of Ula, which is a Gzeira, is in a case that doesn't work even once you pay the money. Even that doesn't work because it looks like the Shtar. But according to the Girsos that say it works and it's not a Shtar, so what do you mean it looks like a Shtar? It is a Shtar. And it says a Shtar is a Shtar Raya. Shtar is a Shtar, meaning we did a transaction and there's a proof. Or the shtar speaks about the transaction. Okay. But it records the transaction or it verifies the transaction. So one might have said, that's ein gufo mamon. But if I write you an IOU, it's not a raya, and it's not a record. It's not a statement. It is in lieu of, it's like writing a check. Right? It's a shtar eschaibus. Maybe minat Torah, that would work. This is part of a larger issue of the status of shtar advei. And it's a debate among the Rishonim. The Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Tzayin Amud Aleph, speaks about pidyon eved being podan eved bekesef u'bishtar. So the Gemara says, we'll try to finish up in the next 6 or 7 minutes. Gemara says, what's the case of shtar? Gemara says, what's the case? We konas atzim b'shtar, huh? Hi star hechadami, ilay b'dekasav le'shtar ademei, he writes an IOU, hainu kasef. Ela shichur shtar lamali, le'ma le'ba p'trezil, the Gemara says, zos ameris evad ivri gufa kondum, harav shemachal gerona en gerona machal. So the Gemara seems to say that a shtar ademei, an IOU, works as kasef for pidyon ha'evad. The Gemara in Kiddushin of Hayom Aleph talks about the relationship between Kesef and Shtar, whether you can learn one from the other, and so on. The Gemara says, "Minayin shaf b'shtar dinu ma kesef shein motzi machnis shtar shein motzi in din shein machnis ma la kesef shein podim b'kdeishu ma'isa sheini tomer b'shtar shein podim b'kdeishu so ma'isa sheini." Gemara says that Shtar doesn't work in hekdesh and ma'isa sheini. So here Rashi, a very famous discussion. So Rashi says, what does that mean? An IOU. If you write an IOU to Hekdesh and Maizer Sheni, it doesn't work. As opposed to Kiddushin, where it works. So the Rajba Alatar, of Hayabat Aleph, says it can't be that Pshat and Rashi is right. It must mean what the Gemara says, Malik Shtar Shein Podubo, Hekdesh and Maizer Sheni, doesn't mean an IOU. It means a Shtar that records, or that proclaims, you know, Hinani Poda, you know, Gnesha Samaiser Shani. Just like the Shtar in Kiddushin says, you know, Haram Bukudeshusli. Doesn't say I'm going to give you $100. That's not what a Kinyan Shtar in Kiddushin is. That's the Rajma. He says, how do I know it? For two reasons. Number one, because if it were the Shtar Admei, an IOU, it wouldn't work because the rule is Mana Einkam, and Bekadish is Isha B'mana, wants a Bekadish with $100, and Dasan Lamashkon, and he gives her a Mashkon for the $100. Ein Bukudeshus. Gemara says in Kiddushin Daf Ches, money in kan, mashkin in kan. He said he was going to give her $100. Instead, he gives her the pawn. So he gave her neither the pawn nor the money. So the Rajba says that's why it shouldn't work, an IOU should not work in Kiddushin either. The Rajba. What? I haven't heard of it. Pirush Rashi, Einu Mechuvar, the Bechai Gabna, Filu B'Yishe, Einu Mekudeshes, the Mana Inkan, Shtar Inkan. The truth is, that's not such a terrible objection. Number one, there's a debate what Mana Inkan, Mashkon Inkan really means, whether there's no Shibud, or whether it's a special din in Kiddushe Isha, Kiyikach Ish Isha. I don't want to get into that, that's a Kiddushe topic. But I would say there's another distinction that people don't mention, which is worth mentioning, I think, if it's right. I think it's right. That is as follows. The case of mana inkan, mashkan inkan, person's makadish b'mana. So I'm going to give you $100. Instead of giving the $100 in phase two, instead he gives a mashkon for the $100. So we say mana inkan, mashkan inkan, whatever it means, that's a debate in the Rishon. But if to begin with, I present you with an IOU, I don't say I want to be makadish with kesef. Right? And here's an IOU. So then it's similar, maybe it's a similar problem. Mana inkan, mashkan inkan. Meaning I've formulated my kinyan in one way, and now I'm trying to substitute, it's not, you know, bait and switch, but you know, it's I guess the halachic equivalent. Mana inkan, mashkan inkan. It's neither this nor that. Here we're talking about something else. A person writes an IOU, the ischaivus itself is direct. It's not a second phase, it's not a substitute. That may not be a problem, mana inkan, mashkan inkan. That's number one. Okay. More importantly, Rashba says, Ukiritznan bebechoros, perikesh bechor, gabe pigeon a ben. Umaisla bresh perikanose sa isha, cause of the coin shuchai ve soim, chai blitin ahe soim, ubneno padui, and it maromar ula, dvartor bno padui the kishayite, matam, eno padui, lo chalo yomru, podi mishtaros, alma, afilo dvartora, eno padui achshab, el kishayite. The hachanami, eno mukudesh, sachiyite, by ishaide bekasam iskadesh, shalo bishtar. What's his question? We see from Bechor, from Pidgin Bechor, that an IOU doesn't work. If it doesn't work in Bechor, it shouldn't work in Kedusha. So number one, he interprets the Gemara that the Daraisa is that it doesn't work. The Drabbanan doesn't work is only Likashiyite. As we point out, there are different Girsos on that point. It's not so clear the Mishnah says it doesn't work. But in addition to that, what's the assumption? If it doesn't work in Bechor, it doesn't work in Kedusha. All right, what about the Gemara on Tezayin ben Aleph in Kedusha, which says that for Eved Ivri it works? So the Rashba himself discusses it there. He says, on that Gemara, Klomar, Kol shenisratza Odom bekach eni yachol achsa v'dainu kesef. Abba kochet Odomo. Number one, an IOU is only going to work, according to the Gemara, if it's midas, not balkorcha. That's number one. Kesef will work while karka, the other, not an IOU. Okay. Miwa kati kashalan, my kama hainu kesef. Imke namakadish bekesef, because of shtar le tei mukudeshes. The shtar de kesef le hainu kesef. Again, my same objection applies. That's not the case either in Dav Hei or the case here. It's, he didn't say I'm going to give you $100, here's an IOU. He said, I want to be makadish with this IOU. More to the point, he's really bothered by his understanding of the Mishnah in Bechoros, which is that an IOU is not kesef, because Pidgin Aben is kesef, Shama kesef, and an IOU doesn't work. Wow. He says, maybe an IOU will work for Piron Achov. It won't work for Kinyan Aguf. It won't work for Kedushin either. It won't work for Yipoda and Eved. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara does say, in this two lines later, the Gemara says, Eved Ivri Gufa Kanui, and that's why, whatever. But the Gemara doesn't talk about why Shtar Admei doesn't work. The Gemara is trying to explain why you can't say Zil Apik Lenafshik. You can't just say to a guy, you're not my Eved anymore. Rashba basically is now telling us that IOU is a tricky kind of a thing. It won't work for Kinyan Aguf, but it'll work for Piron Achov. Before he told us, it won't work Balkarcha as money, but it'll work Midas. Now, just when we think about it, IOU really is a tricky kind of a thing. Right? On the one hand, this is Chaimus. In lieu of payment, it isn't actual money. Is it really Kesef or not? I would say it depends on what the nature of the particular Kinyan Kesef is. And here, without going into too much detail, because we'll never finish, it depends on some of the categories we spoke of before, although it's not so clear which category it works and doesn't work for. In other words, is an IOU Kesef when you need formal act of pidyon? Is it kesef when all you need is piron achov? That's the distinction between pidgin and piron, pidgin naguf, and piron achov is the distinction the Rashba himself is making. But by extension, which of these is pidgin aben? Or is it both? In the Groz kind of way. Moreover, if you need hafrasha, is an IOU a hafrasha? But if you need an asina and a kabbalah, is it an asina of a kabbalah? Okay. So the truth is, the objective evidence is there's a machlokus whether it works in Kedushin, there's a machlokus whether it works in Pidgin Aben, it definitely seems to work in Eved Ivri, and there's a machlokus whether that depends on Eved Ivri Gufa Kondo, your own Gufa Kondo. Now there are some achronim who say that the Rajma's question and Raya from Bechor is not a Raya anyway, and that's for another reason which I want to mention. Number one, the Marit al-Ghazi al-Attar says What happened to the rule of the reason IOU doesn't work in Minat Torah, doesn't work in Pidyon Aben, is not because it's not Kesef, but because it's Shar, it's Ein Guf HaMamon. So this is an interesting question. Is an IOU really Ein Guf HaMamon? That's what I said before. When the Gemara eliminates, based on the Mishnah, the Gemara eliminates shtar, because Ein Guf HaMamon. Normally, Ein Guf HaMamon means a shtar raya, or a shtar that proclaims, not an IOU. An IOU is something in between. As we say Ein Guf HaKon, Ein Guf HaMamon, what we mean is its significance lies not in its value, but in its in the evidentiary aspect of it. That's not the significance of an IOU. So an IOU isn't intrinsic money. It's a piece of paper. But it's also not significant as something else. So that's one point. The Rit Al-Ghazi and the Ksos, both discuss, Ksos I think in Reish Mem Gimel, discuss this problem. Is it or is it not excluded because of Ein Gufo Mamon, but otherwise it would be Kesef, therefore it should work for Kedushin, just as it would work as Kesef for Bechor. This is all within the assumption that it doesn't work Minat Torah because you have that Gersa to begin with. That's number one. Number two is the point of the Minchas Chinuch and the Beis Halevi. They say the following. Even if an IOU is considered Kesef in Kol Torah Kula, it very well may not be Kesef in Pidyon Aben. Because in Kol Torah Kula, when I write you an IOU, I'm mechadesh something of value for you. But in Pidyon Aben, the Torah already said you're chayiv to be podas aben for hay slime. So where's the contribution of the IOU? So here, some achronim say, well, the IOU is significant because it gives this particular kohen the right to collect the Pidyon Aben. Otherwise, it was just going to be mamon hashevet. So this goes to the heart of one of our big issues. Is Pidyon Aben about the individual Kohen? Or is it only a matter of Mamon HaShevet, in which case this objection to this explanation doesn't hold water? Of course, you could say, even if it's true that it's Mevara, a particular Kohen, and even if the particular Kohen is the Mechayev in Pidyon Aben, not Shevet, it's still possible that it doesn't add Mamon. Its status of Kesef is not enhanced because of that. I mean, it is true that it's Mevara, which Kohen, but that's a separate from its value of Kesef as Kesef, because from the Nosein's point of view, it doesn't change matters. It doesn't make him more obligated than he was previously. So this question of the role of Mamon HaShevet, A, and B, even if it's Mamon Prati, whether this is a factor, is something to consider. The Achronim made a different distinction. They said, listen, if I give you an IOU, I owe you $5. Is that IOU worth $5? Or is it worth $3? If I give you money in your hand, $5, that's $5. Right? But if I give you a paper that says I owe you $5, that's worth $5? You still have to collect it. The uncertainty or the delay itself makes it worth less than the face value of the IOU. So if I give you an ashtar adnei of 5 shloim, that's not 5 shloim. Of course, if you hold that that's the only problem, then in theory, if I give you an IOU of 9 shloim, it's probably worth 5 shloim. And then it wouldn't be a problem. But let me take it one step further. Aside from these answers, all of which are attempts to answer the Rajma's question, against Rashi, the Pidyon Bechor is different because it's shtar, we're not so sure, because it doesn't mechadesh anything, the Minchas Chinuch and the Beis Halevi, because it doesn't have the right value. I think there's just another point here. And that is the point already echoed in the Rajba himself, like we just said. The Rajba says, it could be that IOU is Kesef, but it's not Kesef when you need Balkoch. It's a Kesef only in a voluntary sense. It could be that an IOU is Kesef, but only when it's Kesef Linyan Piron, not when it's Kesef Linyan Pidyon Davar Shegufo Kadu. And as I said before, it could be that there's a difference between hafrasha, maybe because it's about Mamon HaShevet, or maybe because of the formality, The same reason why you need a Gzeres HaKosef for Shava Kesef, Kikesef, we say the Shava Kesef is Midin Kesef in Pidgin Aben. It's not that Shava Kesef is the category of Kesef too. But that's the same reason I might say, when it comes to Pidgin Aben, you really need a coin. You don't need a coin, you need money. Money is Kesef. Or value is Kesef. Again, the Minchas Chinuch says, Hana would be Kesef. Fine. But, because the primary category is the Hafrasha, the Pidgin, not only the Piron, it could be that the IOU doesn't work in Bechar. But when it comes to Isha, which is about the scene of a Kabbalah, maybe particularly about Kabbalah, maybe in the context of Kinyan, it would work. Point is, this would then be an important litmus test for the relationship or for the nature of Kinyan Pidgin Aben. And it's in that light that we also have to look at the other questions, the ones I mentioned, that Midrash Chinuch speaks about, Milva. Right? If Milva doesn't work in Kiddushin, does it work for Pidgin Aben? And if according to the Rambam, it works in Nekachu Memkar, although it doesn't work in Kiddushin, will it work in Pidgin Aben? So the Midrash Chinuch has a long piece about it. He says, it depends if it's Piron. If Pidgin Aben is about Kinyan or Kinyan Aben, Pidgin Aben is about Piron. If it's about Piron, Milva should work. If it's about Kinyan, then it shouldn't. But as we pointed out before, even if it's about Kinyan, who's Kinyan? The Kinyan of the father or the Kinyan of the Kohen? Nesina, Kabbalah, right? Chiyuv Achrayus? Which of these? What about Mashko? Does Mana Inkan, Mashkan Inkan apply? Huge discussion in Minchas Chinuch. Nesina Bal Korcha. As I said before, it's Shavelo, Shavela, Velo Shavela Kohen. It's Shavela Kohen. V'lo shava la'av, and so on down the road. Well, the interesting thing is that certain of our understandings of either the role of Kohen or the combination of the formality, the Yoredeya part, and yet also the Gra Chol Shemishpat part, will determine that you don't, in terms of the relationship to Kiddushin and to Matnas Kahuna, it's not going to be all Kula, all Chomra. I can't go into it now, but in each case, there may be reasons why in some cases it's easier to be po de beno, even though you can't be Mekadosh Isha, or won't work in Matnas Kahuna, or the opposite. Okay, I'm sorry it took so long, but we'll stop here. As I say, I think we did most of the main topics. There are obviously a lot more details to pursue. It's recommended to go through the Shulchan Aruch. The one topic that certainly needs more discussing is the value of the shekel on the slime and the connection to Hekdesh Shavamana. In other words, the sugya that we skip the most is the one Mem Tesum Beis, or really Nun Omid Aleph to Nun Omid Beis, but this is just the basic yesodos of the others. So, thank you very much. It's been a pleasant limud from my point of view.